Hey, what's poppin'? Drew and Mike show. Heading into a weekend with all the usual suspects, Trudy, Mark, Brandon, and we are in the deals in the D.com studios. Or Facebook Live. Everyone gathering around the Facebook Live, I suppose. Who's first today?
Oh, how quaint. Thinking of that.
Water's everywhere.
We're not quite there yet.
Oh, okay.
We'll be there in about another 1 minute.
The excitement builds.
Well, then I'll mention the city of Royal Oak and all that cash you're spending down there in Royal Oak bucks. And we're getting down to the wire. Just a couple weeks left for a lot of you. Spend your Royal Oak bucks. $20 a pop. Enjoy yourself. And you can take Lyft in for $10 off. If you use the code GO2RO, let's go to Royal Oak. Use it going there, going home. You can take $40 out of the world if you do that. And boy, people are spending like crazy, which is great. They've been over $220,000 out of the $400,000 they gave away. Pretty amazing. All right, and Facebook Live. Facebook Live's brought to you by...
Wait 10 more seconds.
I thought we started at the beginning of the show.
No, we started once this song ends.
I see.
Now, go.
You know why.
Okay. Emergency Response Services Incorporated brings you Facebook Live. Water is everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. Watch out for water in your home. And maybe check the basement once in a while, especially after it rains, because you might have a flood. And you might want to call Emergency Response Services Incorporated at 877-JOB-DONE to get cleaned up. Or it may be fire damage, storm damage. It could be mold left behind from water, or it could just be mold in some damp, terrible place. Call the experts, 877-JOB-DONE. If it's an emergency, they can either handle it for you or they can point you in the right direction. The website's 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
So, as we head into another weekend, I've been watching baseball again, which is really kind of weird. I just jumped in the middle of the playoffs.
October Madness.
But sports has been like that. I don't know how the baseball ratings are doing. Are they? They're not like doing like NBA bad, are they?
They're not doing bad at all. In fact, ESPN is so happy with them that there's speculation that they want to go with this format going forward.
Oh, more games. More games. Yeah, always more games. Hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, it's been fun. I watched the Astros come back to 3-1. Springer just hit an incredible blast. Oh, my God. He leaped on a high fastball, hit it out, and Altuve had a home run, too. Watch out. Watch out for Houston. I don't know if that thing is over. I know nobody comes back from 3-0. Mm. Only one team.
Well, just Boston, right? 2004?
Yes. But I don't.
That's a lot of homers.
I love that team. Of course, Verlander's out. Maybe I'm dreaming. But
why do you love them? Because they're cheaters?
No, I just love JV, so I got interested
in the
team. You
love A.J. Hinch because you look in the mirror and you see him every day.
Well, he's not part of that team anymore.
I know it, but he was during their success.
Well,
that's funny. I just still think that he is the manager of that team. I don't know why.
I do, too. I thought that. I see Dusty Baker now, and so it's starting to sink in. But Altuve is such a great player. Springer, Correa. They got a great lineup. Fun team to watch. I like them. And then the Dodgers
Bregman.
Came back, too. Yeah, Bregman. The Dodgers just wailed. Their offense suddenly showed up, and I think they might maybe make that series interesting. I hope they do.
I love how Drew really gets into baseball with like a week left of it.
I know. Well, honestly, that's why I don't like expanded playoffs, because I don't know if I want to watch all of it, and then you just sort of jump in, and it hasn't been hard to jump in. I've been enjoying it. The games are taking forever, though. God, why can't they speed baseball up? So what is so hard about it?
I don't know. Too many walks, too many strikeouts.
Exactly.
Too many home runs.
Too many foul balls.
Which I never thought I'd say too many home runs, but there really is. It's just home run or strikeout.
I really don't mind the home runs. I just don't like the, you know, if it's the ninth inning and there's one out or two outs and a guy has a 14-pitch at bat, I don't mind. But you know, when there's four guys in a row that do that, It's a little weird.
You are long gone.
I don't have your answer about the ratings, but I saw this the other day. I thought you might find this interesting. You know, Marist will do polls, and they did a big sports poll.
Mm-hmm.
Where the simple question is, are you a blank fan? Football, baseball, basketball, or NASCAR? For some reason, they left hockey out of it. And they have October, I don't know why, October 2020 versus March 17th. Who do you think's had the biggest drop?
I'll say the NBA.
The NBA went from 44% to 37%, which is not that big of a drop.
Well, that is 20%, though.
So
close to it.
Lost more ground than that?
The NFL went, or football fans went from 67 to 52.
All right. I've loved sports all of my life.
And baseball went from 51 to 37.
Wow, that's
significant.
And it's just, it's got to be.
What about NASCAR?
NASCAR went from 22 to 16.
Well, I wonder, fine. They are all happening at once, and it is.
But they're all dropping.
What about NASCAR? You like NASCAR?
I just think having all this stuff coming at you, and then there was all this political-related stuff, and a lot of people were just annoyed by all of it. So they're probably taking it out in a poll like that on baseball, football, and basketball.
They dive into all the issues, too. But one of the things, the big thing they took away from this is that right now with people at home and all this madness going on, their takeaway is that people don't have time for sports.
I don't know if that's true.
I wouldn't find that to be true either, but, you know, they're the ones getting the answers.
When they're all on at once, it's a little tricky. But anyway, football this weekend. What happened if the Falcons have some COVID?
Some, 5 positive tests? So,
is anybody's game canceled this weekend? That's all I really want to know.
That's the one. The Falcons and the Vikings game is up in the air right now.
So they're playing Tuesday. That's okay.
So I've also seen that it's just somebody who's in the personnel, so they might play, but who knows?
Can't they just play Tuesday? I mean, I want to have Tuesday night football. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't they just get steroids?
They will.
What's the problem?
They'll have everything. Whatever they need, they'll have it.
Just play anyway.
I'm surprised they don't have it now.
Boom! Hot take!
And what about college football? Is Alabama playing as far as we know?
Yeah, as far as we know. There was one game canceled today, I saw.
What is the big deal, by the way? Okay, the head coach has COVID. I know that's a big deal, but they have plenty of coaches. If he had an appendectomy, they would play.
Excuse me, you're talking about Nick Saban.
So what?
Saban.
Basically God getting it.
The Hokies play without 23 guys. Why can't Alabama play
without Saban? Nick Saban is way more important than 23 guys.
Florida has 5 guys. Big deal.
Talking about Nick Saban.
I'm assuming they're going
to
play.
Why can't Nick Saban coach from like Zoom in to coach
will.
Or something?
He probably. Oh, wouldn't that be great if they had just a guy holding a monitor with a Zoom on it and Saban's face?
Oh, so the players could see him when they looked over the
on the sideline so he can walk out. Just holding
and he can
up.
Grimace whenever just, somebody does something bad.
Or, he pulls out his IV.
That would be awesome. Just a really, just one that's too large, too, like 52 inches. Just a really giant one.
You know, not only are these sports teams, of course, having issues, but I'm assuming most of the games will be played. I saw, and I've been ragging on these reporters who just can't stand the danger of a rally, and so they won't cover it because it's just too dangerous. And then I saw today, and this is again, I feel like it's all about leaps, like people just trying to say something, even though, I got to tell you, if I was a news director and I had 2 reporters and one said, you know what, I'll wear a mask, I'll stay away from people, I'll be fine. And then one guy said, that's too dangerous. I like the reporter that wants to go and feels he can take care of himself because I can take care of myself. I'm not going to get COVID from going somewhere. I'm going to stay away from people.
Let's say the podcast needed to send you to a COVID hotspot. Would you go?
No, to travel? Well, I'm not a reporter.
Okay.
I mean, if you said...
I'm just asking
nice
you...
Nice dodge.
I'm
not dodging. If I was a 30-year-old reporter and they said, can you cover this Trump rally? I'd say, fuck yeah, I'll put a mask on and I'll be okay.
Huh. Oh, he's a 30-year-old reporter?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, a 40-year-old reporter? No, I don't know how old the reporter was. I don't know. I mean, we can go through every possible machination. I mean, they have to go on a pool plane. If you're a reporter and you want to cover something... And you have to travel on the president's plane. You can't find any other. I thought these were reporters. I thought they had some, you know, wherewithal.
I just bring it up because someone said in an email and they said my boss wanted to send me to a COVID hotspot. And I told him no. I don't know if you saw that email.
What, on a plane?
I thought it was interesting.
Planes are safe, by the way. They just had something today that says virtually impossible to get COVID on a plane.
Yeah, it's from the airline industry.
And the Department of Defense.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that either. How are people getting COVID if all these places are
standing
so
in line
to get
on? That's what they said.
Yeah, I think the airport would be more dangerous. And then today I saw this one too. This is another leap. Kamala Harris's aide got COVID. somebody on her campaign plane got COVID, and so she's suspending all travel until Monday, even though they said, well, you're okay. You don't need to quarantine because you don't have it and you've been tested. She hasn't been around the people. But the quote was, let's see. In line with the campaign's commitment to the highest level of prevention, we're canceling travel until Monday. Even though she doesn't need to, she's canceling it. So I think that's, you're talking about a half-assed vice president. Not willing to do it even though they said it's safe. But they're trying to make a statement like, it's so dangerous. Even though she can, she's not going to do it. But whatever. I mean, if that makes her more people vote for her, then that'll work out very nicely. There were some great campaign ads today, too. As, let's see, what was the one? There was one at 10:09 last night. Go to Fox 2 at 10:09. And there's a Peter's ad that is just stellar. It's not a Peter's ad. I'm sorry. He's the star of the ad. But it's John James' ad.
I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Meanwhile, it appears the whole world's officially gone crazy, and I can't stop talking about it. Not to mention our friends at Zotford and Holly have been crazy since back in the day when being crazy actually meant something. Anthony Gabar, the hottest sales staff in Oakland County, wanted to let the baby have his bottle, so here are a few of Zotford's craziest deals of the year. Lease a loaded 2020 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $177 a month, or get to Zotford, lease the SUV everybody's talking about. The all-new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT four-wheel drive as low as $212 a month. Finally, lease the toughest truck on the road, a new 2020 F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 as low as $199 a month. And just when you thought things couldn't get any crazier, they've got that highly anticipated Ford Bronco Sport in stock and ready for immediate delivery any day now.
Steak and potatoes may feed my body, but a Bronco feeds my soul.
But stay tuned, because Mark may be rolling around in a Zotford Bronco looking for...
What better way to spend your day off than having fun in a Ford Bronco?
Yeah.
Give Anthony a call or get details at dealsinthed.com. And then, of course, we've got Hall Financial doing their thing, saving people money, refinancing, and doing it quickly in 19 days on the average. The industry does it in 44 days. And
I just refined.
You did.
Yay.
You did do it.
Oh, man, did I save some coin. I went from a 4.75 to...
What?
Whoa, why were you at a 4.75?
2.9.
Wait, why is this the first we're hearing about this?
Because I just did it. It just completed. It just finished.
You didn't want to tell us that you were visiting with Hall Financial, that you were actually using an advertiser?
Did you go through Jim?
I started with Jim, yes, because I know him. And then he directed me to...
Brandon has trust issues,
Chris?
With money.
Did you end up with Chris?
I don't think so. Hold on.
Are you mad that you didn't do it earlier? Because think of all the money you lost.
Oh, boy. Why, you're such a buzzkill.
We really don't
this.
Need to know who it is, Brandon. You can just tell us Mark. What happened.
Trudy.
Huge unicycle enthusiast. I think it was Phil.
Yeah. Phil. Okay.
Yes. And he was great. Dude, it was great. It was awesome. The simplest thing, they helped out. They walked me through the entire process. It was actually a lot easier than I even imagined, even though you've been telling me it's easy for the last few years.
Well, you just need a couple details. You just need a few things before they can tell you if they can help you. But they didn't even want me to get hung up on that. Just tell them to call. We'll help them figure it out.
Brandon, what's their MLS number?
I don't know.
1467435. Call 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Go to davidallmortgage.com/DrewandMike, or you can click the link on our website for Hall Financial. How much are you saving
$200 bucks a month.
$200 a month. That's great.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Did you get to 10:08?
I thought you said 10:09.
10:09. Yeah, I'm sorry. 10:09. It's right after a Biden ad.
FFPAC's responsible for the...
Oh, hey. Pop quiz time. Name something Senator Gary Peters has done. I'll write him down. Waiting. Hello. Nothing. You're not alone. 12 years, 2 million in pay, and nothing. Peters didn't even show up for 80% of his committee meetings on foreign affairs in China. On election day, tell Gary Peters thanks for nothing. NRSC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Nothing. I can't think of anything he's done.
Can you think of anything anybody else has done, though?
No.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great ad, because he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, name
of.
One thing Debbie Stabenow's done.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, that would become a commonplace ad. Whoever runs it first should win. There was another ad at, let's see, I think it was 1024. Where's the Haley Stevens? Oh, okay, 1020. It's about wacky Haley Stevens.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
And this one's pretty good, too.
One runs all
I thought she was the one that's holding China at bay. Isn't she the one that said she's going to keep China under control for us?
That's Slotkin, right?
Oh, Slotkin, okay. Because I'm for the person that wants to take China, hold China's feet to the fire. I didn't realize a state senator could do that or a
China
House rep. Haley Stevens, and she's the one. Haley Stevens is the one who's responsible for the auto industry recovering, right? Or is that Slotkin?
Wait, did they?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm speeding through. Did they rerun Rob's story?
No. I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, Rob was doing an update on the $450 towing scam.
Oh, wow. What, that was a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have so many questions about that, too, because I don't understand how you can tow people for $450 and it be legal. And I don't understand why. I guess I want to talk to Rob. Maybe we'll call Rob later and find out, because honestly, it is just the biggest bullshit story. People, I wish you would go to McDonald's headquarters and find out, what is it with you have a McDonald's where you can park for 30 minutes, and if you park for 30 seconds more, because they have spotters, then you'll be towed for $450. Yeah. That's what McDonald's does to their customers, huh?
They should go to the franchisee, absolutely.
Well, I'd go to the headquarters, because I'd say, is this okay?
Headquarters are going to know, though. They're not going to know the answer to that.
Well, then they should. Then they're not McDonald's. I thought McDonald's took care of people. I didn't realize that a certain McDonald's could just fuck you over out of $450. I'm going to assume that if McDonald's doesn't care, then any franchisee could do it.
They probably could.
That's not good. I trusted McDonald's.
Don't eat there anymore.
I guess not.
America needed calm leadership. Instead, Michigan got Haley Stevens.
Not for personal tension.
But it was. And Stevens erupted.
Servitude, sharing in the profession with those who have not come before you.
And Haley Stevens didn't stop.
Wars and flus pass. You will see darkness.
Say that again.
You will see darkness. You will be pushed.
Haley Stevens is just embarrassing. Congressional Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I don't want to be embarrassed
Gary
by Haley
Peters has done for you.
This is a different ad.
How?
I mean, it's well, you can play it if you want. I don't care. Our
jobs. Might as well pay.
Send electric bills skyrocketing. Peters also backs a government-run healthcare plan that would slash hundreds of billions in funding for our hospitals and could force 44 Michigan hospitals to close. Healthcare.
I don't like hospitals closing.
Hospital closures. Michigan can't afford Gary Peters. Senate Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
They just contradicted the previous ad. They said he did nothing. Now he's closing 44 hospitals.
Wow.
I'm confused.
Is a mixed
Haley Stevens is just embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm not voting for embarrassing people. I mean, she's embarrassing the state. I mean, there's people walking around going, oh, my God, did you see that screaming Mimi from Michigan? What kind of a state do they have? I'm not going to be embarrassed like that anymore. At it. So much for that. Okay. Did anybody watch the Billboard Awards?
No.
Some of it.
No.
Some.
Just the highlights on YouTube.
Like, that was good.
Kids do.
Alicia Keys was in a bodysuit, looking sexy. She had bangs.
Wow. Did somebody
She just get dumped?
Yeah, she was
wearing bangs.
It's the Grammys.
Somebody broke up with her.
Mm.
For sure.
John Legend was available, too.
Yeah, John Legend sang a song to Christy about the miscarriage, I guess.
Couldn't he have stayed home? I mean, isn't there a significant point in time where you need to, like, mourn?
I feel...
Without being in the public limelight?
Was that event milked? Can we officially say that event was milked? I mean, the black and white stylized pictures taken by a third party in a hospital.
In the room, yeah.
I thought that was really weird. And then the song last night, so yeah, just when you were getting over it yourself, you'd be reminded of it. A sign that the apocalypse is soon is, you know, whenever they say best group, I'm thinking, it's going to be Cream or the Rolling Stones or, you know, the Strokes.
Is this 1968?
No, I'm just running through, I mean, the years. I mean, Van Halen. It could be Nirvana. It could be Pearl Jam. It could be
Nickelback, but, yeah.
No, not Nickelback.
Never.
But it could be a band. I know what you mean. It could be a...
Well, Nickelback has sold a lot of records, but the best group, it turns out, in the United States of America, or in the world, I guess, the Billboard Awards, is the Jonas Brothers. What a great group.
Oh.
Man, they got all those great players and all those talented people writing songs and churning them out and all that great musicianship. Great group.
Kennedy would agree.
She probably would.
Who else was nominated?
People that were silly.
I was just curious.
There was nobody that I knew. Nobody that I knew.
I'm just trying to think of who else had a, what other group had a song out. I can't even think of any.
Well, Tool put out an album.
Yeah. Not like it got airplay.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Billboard's based on or no?
Probably. Yeah. More than airplay. Though, it's based on sales and streams. The best social band was BTS. What's the social band? Does that mean social media?
Probably, yeah.
I'm glad they have that category now.
So the Jonas Brothers were up against BTS, great group, Dan and Shay, Maroon 5, and Panic at the Disco.
God.
Panic at the Disco won best rock band.
I guess the right band won then.
Are BTS, I mean, they're just vocals, and they're essentially dancing, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, shouldn't that be best dance band?
Yeah.
Best dance, singing best dance band. Best singing dance band. Or best
they're the
boy
top
band.
Boy band right now, and they did lip sync last night, which was weird.
Did they? Really?
They don't even speak English, do they?
No, they do. Yeah, they have auto-tuned.
Oh, you know a lot about BTS. What does it stand for,
from what I saw last night.
What does it stand for?
Bind, Kill, Torture.
the Dennis Rader Band.
Post Malone won 9 awards.
For Bangtan Boys.
What? Seriously?
That's BTB. Bangtan Boys.
Laundry?
The top rock artist was Panic at the Disco. The biggest, the best rock tour was Elton John, and the best rock album was Tool, Fear Inoculum. And
did you like En Vogue?
I didn't see En Vogue.
What? I was trying to get you to watch.
I'm really not a fan.
Trudy, did you like En Vogue?
I loved that. That was great. Hey, this chick can play guitar.
Yeah, I mean, she's no Eddie Van Halen or anything, but at least it was some guitars for you, Drew.
Jammed.
I mean, I know there was dancing too, but at least there were some guitars and.
I was too busy. I was taken aback by the Demi Lovato Commander in Chief song. I was in tears and doing some soul searching and doing some work.
And Vogue, by the way, was Free Your Mind and Your Ass Will Follow, which is a Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
Either a nod to
still
them.
Still good, man.
Yeah.
Did you hear the Commander in Chief song?
No. No. Like Chief I told Trudy, I said when I saw the list of ones, I went, I'm not watching John Legend, I'm not watching Demi Lovato, and I'm not watching Alicia Keys.
Or Kelly Clarkson.
She made a powerful...
No, I did watch some of Kelly Clarkson. It was terrible. Yeah.
Were there some political statements I didn't hear? I didn't really watch long enough to know. I mean, did people get off and say vote for Biden or vote?
I just watched those handful of performances. Oh,
okay. Well,
I did see that Kanye West, he kept popping up for all these the Christian awards.
Yeah, he won 4 or 5.
But he did lose the top... It was funny. They did the top Christian artist, and they ran through, like, you know, 4 or 5 different people I've never really heard of, because they don't get radio play, not on, well, they'll get Christian radio play, but
maybe in that
really
radio station
else.
That's where we
And then Kanye
to be,
West. It's so weird seeing him with, you know, like the biggest superstar in music with a lot of people that you've never heard of before, and then when he loses, it's, I don't know, kind of chuckled a little bit.
I did see, on the music front, I did see a great review of Tom Petty's Wildflowers reissue.
Oh, yeah.
Which was originally supposed to have 25 songs. And, you know, they do this all the time. We think a single disc would be better. 15 songs, Tom. So he made it a 15-song record. And now they're putting out 9 unreleased songs, right. 70 tracks altogether. Mm. I don't know why we need 70.
You know,
sometimes that's fun.
Like, you know, sort of live tracks and some takes. You know,
yeah, some demos.
And stuff like that.
I mean, I
all
like
good,
demos, generally.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, it's weird. Do most great performers release demos? Because I've heard Beatle demos forever. And, of course, you know, being a fan, I love them. But do most people love hearing their favorite artists do demos?
I don't think they do until now. I think now they're going back in and finding stuff that they'd never released before because they don't have any concert revenue.
Yeah.
So trying to generate new revenue streams, plus, you know, stay interesting.
But if nobody's interested, then it doesn't much matter.
Who's in charge of the Beatles demos? Like, who owns them? Does Paul own them?
I think they own them individually, but they, you know, a Lennon would be a Lennon McCartney, a McCartney would be a McCartney, Lennon McCartney, a Harrison would be a Harrison, you know.
That's why I didn't know if Jackson owned those too. But you, I feel like you always hear these demos, usually when the people die. I suppose Prince.
Tom
Petty.
You know, I wonder why I've never really heard a Rolling Stones demo, because I love the Rolling Stones. Now Elton John is releasing some demos with his big. He's got some huge release coming out of some songs that haven't been out, some demos of some songs you love, and some other versions and things like that. I'll probably be interested in that. But Tom Petty, I'll definitely listen to that. And I was thinking about this, too, because Wildflowers came out after Full Moon Fever, which was his solo record, because the band didn't like it.
Right, yeah.
And he ended up going, ah, fuck you. You know, I'll do this with Campbell and... You know, George Harrison.
Would you say that
helped.
To Tom Petty?
And he got a couple other players who are outstanding. Ben Montench is on it, but
you love saying Ben Montench. Ben Montench.
The Tencher?
Tench.
And I got to thinking about the Traveling Wilburys seem to have just done great things for music, because first of all, you have the two albums with these five guys that generally most people like, or you love three of them maybe. Tom Petty goes into Full Moon Fever out of that, and then he does Wildflowers, which both, I mean, are very beloved records. George Harrison had Cloud Nine kind of connected to the Wilburys. That was a great record. Really? And then Bob Dylan's comeback seemed to come shortly after the Wilburys, too.
Yeah.
With Time Out of Mind. And
it did re-energize all those artists.
It did seem to do something. Roy Orbison had his comeback album, too.
Oh, yeah, that was huge.
Right after. And then he just... Womp, womp.
Gone. The Kinks are doing their 50th anniversary reissue in a box set with Lola, and they're putting a lot of bonus material in their three CDs and 7-inch discs. But they're going to have BBC recordings, unreleased demos, more demos, outtakes,
well,
and stuff.
Now I'm
like
interested
that.
In the Kinks demos, because I love the Kinks. Love
that
Ray
might be
Davies.
Cool. Sure.
Did you haven't talked about the new Stevie Wonder album.
Oh,
I haven't, no, I you know, I saw it was in the prep yesterday, and I didn't really read the whole story.
There's nothing, he just released a new album, I listened to two of the songs, and yeah, it sounds like Stevie. I wasn't blown away, but it wasn't bad.
I saw the
Springsteen... One had Gary Clark Jr. on it, which is kind of cool.
I saw the Springsteen documentary Letter to You trailer, which I think it's going to be one of those making of the album kind of things, so the fans, if you're a Springsteen fan, you probably dig it. I would like it, I suppose.
Before he moves to Australia.
Yeah, that's hitting me hard. Bruce is leaving the country. I don't think I feel good without Bruce.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Because you can't stop by his house anymore. I mean, if he's in Australia, he can do the same things he's doing here, as far as you're concerned.
I like Bruce being American. He's very American to me. I mean, if I think of American things I like, Bruce Springsteen is very high on the list.
Born to run, so he's running away from
the
country.
Good day, mate.
Born in Australia. Can redo that one.
He doesn't seem like the type to say, if Trump wins, I'm leaving. That just doesn't seem like... Now, Tommy Lee, when he said that, I got it.
Tommy Lee interview today, too.
Oh, boy.
Whenever
can't
you
want
to get to it. But I think the coolest news today is, did you see the Flaming Lips concert?
I did not.
Oh, well, I want to do... can I show you it before we end Facebook Live so they can see it, too? They did a concert.
They did?
Yeah.
With cars?
Nope.
With people?
Yep.
Really?
Does anybody else know about this? Do you know about this, Brandon?
I did see photos, and it's kind of ridiculous, yes.
Oh, I think it's pretty... It's so stupid, it's cool.
Well, what's going on?
I'm queuing it up. They're playing...
I don't know how drug use is done.
What do you mean?
If you go to a concert, people are drinking, people are partying, people are smoking, and I don't know how that was done at this concert.
Why? Because there's one person every 10th seat or something?
No, because it looks suits. Like that. They're in giant
bubbles. Oh, my God. So cool. That's
really
cool.
Funny. Isn't that awesome?
Are the band in bubbles?
Yeah, that's him right there. What's his name? Is it Wayne?
Oh, okay.
This girl's, I don't know, she's jumping a little too much for my liking. I mean, people do look stupid dancing in a bubble by themselves.
And I can't see the band, though.
Yeah, they're on stage.
In bubbles?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool as hell. That's really funny.
I think the top right corner is the guitarist. You can barely see it, but the lead singer's there right in the middle.
Well, you kind of have to dance in your bubble, too, because you got so much space. I mean, if you're not, you look like a real stick in the mud.
Well, there's a guy in the bubble right there with his camera holding up his phone, so he's filming through one bubble into another bubble, which is dumb.
Stupid.
I don't know. I think that's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
Out of the box.
It's fun for me to watch it.
It doesn't look like those bubbles move around, though, right? Are those just stationary bubbles?
I would think like bumper cars after a while, and people start moshing their bubbles.
That would be great.
That would be great.
That'd be awesome. Let's see. There's a
nobody can get trampled.
Movie. Supposed to be another one here. They did this in Oklahoma City. There you go.
Welcome back, everybody.
I don't need your intro. There's the band. There's the band in the bubble for you.
Wow.
Isn't that
great? The drummer's got a much bigger bubble, which is kind of weird.
Well, there's two drummers. I think they're in the
Wait,
same
in the
bubble.
Same bubble?
Yeah.
That's kind of reckless.
This is ridiculous.
I think that's cool. It's
ridiculous.
Kind of silly.
You know, this seems like something out of a sci-fi movie.
I know.
Where there's a pandemic and
someone's going to show up to a concert with a bow and arrow and ruin everyone's day.
It's weird too that the lead singer being all dolled up and in his, you know,
his
wonderful concert clothes inside his bubble. Well, why not?
There you go. There's the whole band in the bubble there.
Wow.
A little kid in a bubble.
It's like you've got to be sort of a bubble person. Wait, why isn't a little kid in his parents' bubble? That kid was small.
Oh, maybe
it's his own bubble.
Maybe his parents dropped him off at the show because they're not fans.
Suddenly I'm jealous. It's like, boy, that little fucking Brad gets his own bubble, and I don't even get to go to the show.
So I think
there's another kid in a bubble.
I think this video is they did it for the Colbert show. So I think it's just like a closed show. But the one they did last night was a public show. At a major venue.
With lots of people or not so many people?
Well, as many bubbles as they could fit in there.
How it was all bubbles?
What company is that?
What's it cost to be in the bubble for a show? Because it seems like that'd be expensive. You can only fit so many bubbles.
You're asking way more questions than I was prepared to answer.
I want stock in the bubble company right now. We need to get it.
Yeah.
Like before.
Bubble-headed boobie.
I'm a bubble fan. Well, there's a bit of news that's going to be painful for one person that we all know, Mr. Tom Mazzaway. I don't know if I should be the one to tell him.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Christopher Cross had a very serious case of COVID, said he was dying, temporarily paralyzed, and he's a soft guy. You don't want COVID to Christopher Cross. I mean, this guy's rocking out when he plays Arthur's theme. And he... This is the weird part. He said that, I was traveling to Mexico City, and all of a sudden I got COVID. He's like, wait, what are you doing traveling to Mexico City? You're 69 years old. You're really, he's very much overweight.
Mexico City is kind of a, you know, kind of a hotbed of filth.
That's what I mean. And Christopher Cross is not a healthy, he doesn't look like a terribly healthy person. He's over the age that they say, you know, you shouldn't be traveling and doing things like that unless.
Well, he wanted to, unlike those reporters, he wanted to go.
So he said that he went to the supermarket, came home, and his legs didn't work. And I'm not sure if that's just because he's soft and he's Christopher Cross or that's COVID or what that is.
He was tired.
But then after the whole thing was over, it's like, yeah, I'm walking with a cane now. I think I'm going to be okay. But he said I know I'm not a big celebrity, but you need to know that this can you can get this. And I'm like, wait, you didn't know you could get this? Is that why you went to Mexico City? You didn't know you could get this? What is Christopher Cross doing?
Living in a bubble?
Yes. I guess so.
Is he going to make it, though? Because if he can pull through, then.
He is. But
are you saying he's riding like the wind now that he's cured?
Not exactly. I think he's maybe riding with the breeze. I think we need a forensic accountant to send him to the supermarket and see if his legs work when he gets back. Because that could just be him. Sinead O'Connor is so bad off, she's asked Twitter followers to shop for groceries for her because of her anxiety.
Genius. Genius. Just going right past the whole shipped thing.
Isn't that weird?
She just wants her own personal shipped. It's pretty smart.
And then Meghan Markle is being accused of plagiarism. This isn't a brand on prep. Because she was kind of almost directly quoting the social dilemma in this speech. And by the way, this, I just get madder. Anytime I see a Meghan Markle article, I know I'm just going to get more pissed as I read on. She's one of the featured speakers, of course. Or I think she's the featured speaker at Fortune's Most Powerful Women's Summit. And people paid $1,750 to see Meghan Markle tell you that social media is bad for you. And she's not, she says she's off social media, by the way.
Well, then she knows it's bad for you.
I want proof of that. I don't ever want to hear from her again, and then I'll trust that she's off social media.
I know. I really should just eliminate her from the show like we eliminated the Kardashians at one point. Only occasional references. But yeah, she needs to go.
Yes. Drew, going back to a question earlier, I didn't know that Florida and LSU canceled their game.
Oh, Florida had 5 cases. I knew that.
They canceled the game?
Canceled or postponed?
Well, postponed, I suppose.
Got bad news for you.
That's crazy.
Doug Karsh thinks Michigan is going to recancel the season.
Well, the way the state's going, I mean, we had our highest day of positive tests. I think they'll start because they kind of have to now.
Why didn't they just start when you start, when everybody else started? Because they have 3-4 games in by now. And then they could figure out just redoing a couple games. I think college football is going to somehow finish. I don't know. They've got all the testing like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in their own, they're sort of in a bubble anyway.
How are you? Yeah. When are they going to redo Florida LSU? I guess Missouri and Vanderbilt, like, if anyone cares about that game, that was canceled.
I think they can figure
out. State.
Oh, there's 3 other games canceled?
Yeah. Ole Miss is having an outbreak, but they're still on.
So did you say 2 other games besides?
Missouri and Vandy and Florida LSU are postponed.
Well, that's just a couple games. They can make those up.
Baylor and OSU.
I assume they will. I mean, maybe they'll be out of it and it won't matter, so they won't play them, but I think they're going to find their way through the season just like baseball did. And I think the NFL. Don't you think the NFL is going to have a Super Bowl somehow?
Listen to this. In Baylor, the infected person was tested, had a false negative, so everyone got on a plane, and now they have a bunch of positive tests.
Oh, you can't get on a plane, according to the United Airlines Department of Defense survey. It just said it's very difficult to get on a plane.
Unless it's Baylor's plane.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said. I'm serious. They did a study.
It's difficult to get on a plane, and yet planes are so safe. No problem.
I have no idea.
How we ever find out anything's reality? It's...
Well, no one believes anything anyway, so...
Sure.
Baylor's blaming it on West Virginia because the locker room there was very small. Not joking. This is great.
Why would West Virginia have a small, crummy locker room? I mean, they are Division I, big-time.
It's visitors. They don't,
they gave them the
chair. I still think they'd give them a decent locker room.
Give them the COVID-infested
one. Anyway, I was listening to Doug Karsh, Carson Anderson, and Doug Karsh thinks that Michigan's going to have to reconsider the season. The Big Ten is trying to be safe. Safer than everybody else, and he thinks this heart thing is a bigger deal than they're letting on. I don't know why that came up again.
I don't know why he knows that.
I don't either. Well, he would be inside.
But they have that.
Isn't he on the broadcast?
That's one of the things they say has helped the Big Ten get back on the field. Is the
it's bothering them again?
Okay,
apparently. So, wouldn't that be crazy? I mean, I don't know how the Big Ten can humiliate itself any further, but that would be the way to recancel the season or repostpone it. Anyway.
Did you guys hear the Scotty Bowman roast? Anybody watch that last night?
I didn't. It's Detroit. It would suck because nobody's going to really lambaste Scotty, or he'll just fucking kick their ass. Or he'll just give them the evil eye until they die.
Well, they did it virtually, and Stu Grimson came on and told the story about when Scotty would, you know, sort of pop by as he was on the exercise cycle to give some coaching points, except he had just come out of the steam room, thought of something, and he had shaving cream on his face and flip-flops, and he was nude. Totally nude.
That's Scotty.
He just waltzes up to Stu Grimson and tells him, you know, do this in the game, and he's, like, just everything.
I always thought coaches had a thing
crazy
about being nude. I don't know what it is. My high school coach always walked around nude.
At school, man.
And he had one testicle, so it was always kind of a discussion point.
Could you see that he...
I think... It,
or you weren't looking. I mean, of
I
course,
really
you're
don't
not
want to
looking.
Say, but he told the story every year about, you know, boys always wear a cup. You know, my brother and I got in a fight when we were 16. He kicked me in the between the legs. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, 1 week of ice and 1 week of heat, and it blew up like this. And then it got smaller, 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 smaller. Nothing. Nutsack.
The hand gesture must be made.
Yes. No, he made it. And they said, boys always wear a cup, and then you heard that once a year, just that one story. Everyone knows it. People called him one nut.
And then he walked around nude.
Never to his face, because he was a highly respected guy.
Testes. Testes. One, two, three.
And if you're interested, I finally have the viewership for sporting events and how much they're down.
What's
you
base-
want to see my balls?
What's baseball?
NBA Finals leads down 49%. U.S. Open down 45%. The Kentucky Derby, which was postponed, what, 6 months? 43%. U.S. Open, 42%. MLB Divisional Series down 40%. Stanley Cup Playoffs down 38%. NBA Playoffs, including the Finals, is down 37%. Belmont, 32%.
It was only 37%?
Yeah, but the NBA Finals was down 49%.
Oh, I thought it was down more than that, because they had one game where they had a third of the audience, but maybe they made it up at the end.
Belmont State College football is down 30%.
MLB, college football's down that much?
Yeah. Well, wow. There hasn't been any games, really. There hasn't been that many until last week.
Well, you're missing two conferences, too, that people love to watch.
Yeah, one of them's the most watched one, too. MLB regular season down 26%. WNBA is down 16%. NFL regular season down 13, and then there's only three that are up: the PGA Championship, the PGA Tour, and the WNBA Finals.
Yeah, I heard the WNBA is doing really well, so they're going to be. They're not. NBA is not going to have to give money anymore.
That's really interesting. People just aren't watching sports.
Well, this maybe there's just too many sports to watch. Nobody who can watch all that. Nobody can watch all that.
I don't know. We kind of manage to.
Well,
Maz watches them all.
Well, he's got time. He's got nothing but time.
No, he plans his show.
We may have to call him, but yeah. There's another. I got an email. I'm not happy about it.
Trudy, when he plans his show, though, he does it when there's no sports on. Oh. Although he watches reruns of sporting events, which I think is weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't.
You butt out.
Well, okay. Stand by. It appears the whole world is officially. We've already gone crazy. I already told you about that. But it didn't tell you that as we step into fall, the team at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep celebration event, and it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered, starting with a 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month? If you need a truck, go lease a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Then how about pure performance? Porting a new SUV that drives like a sports car. That's easy. Go lease a new 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And no spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. Get details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinad.com. And Dr. Yaldo's back. The Drew and Mike discount is back. $1,500 off your LASIK or your multifocal lens implants. For the 40 and under group, custom topography guided LASIK, the most precise in the world, allows you to throw your contacts and glasses away and actually and see better than you ever could with them. And then, of course, the multifocal lens replacement does the same thing. Get rid of all that stuff. Save money. Eventually, it should pay for itself. And the $1,500 off, well, that's pretty nice, too. So you can pay for it quicker. I know a lot of people think about the cost when they're thinking about doing this. So why not think about it now and have a consult? Not committed to anything. Call 800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Ask for the Drew and Mike discount. And they're now at a third location, the Yaldo Eye Center in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M-59. So today, last night, I was really looking around for the Hunter Biden story because I thought, okay, this is really wild. You know, 40,000 emails. A 12-minute sex video tape while he's smoking crack, pictures of him asleep with a meth pipe in his mouth. I mean, for the prurient alone, it had everything. You know, the son, the troubled son of the presidential candidate. I mean, it was a crazy story. Plus, he gives his waterlogged laptop. And by the way, I've heard no denials so far. If anybody has, correct me. I've heard no denials that this is his emails, and this is him, based on the pictures they showed in the Daily Mail and in the New York Post and other places. It appears that it is Hunter Biden, and it is his computer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got Clicksville. I mean, I'm sure the Daily Mail is probably getting a bazillion clicks. I bet the New York Post is having a crazy time. So I was poking around yesterday, and I mentioned on the show that TMZ Inside Edition did not do the story at all. Local news ignored it. I watched ABC and NBC at 6:30. Nothing. No mention.
Where's Hunter?
No mention whatsoever. Oof. And I'm thinking, God, that's, if nothing else, it's a good story. I mean, they're doing the, I'll tell you what story they were all doing was the girl that called 911 twice from Central Park. She had called on someone else.
Amy Cooper,
thinking,
yeah.
That's really a better story? I mean, I know you go for clicks, but wouldn't this story, I mean, no matter how you feel about anything, it's a wild story. The fact that, you know, this guy gets stumbles into three waterlogged computers, and Hunter Biden is such a fucking lame ass, he never picks them up, and the guy gives a copy to the FBI, and he gives a copy to Rudy Giuliani, and... Well, except for those people who insist that this is a conspiracy, because there are those who say this is part of the Russian disinformation thing. Anyway, finally this morning, I was like, is anybody going to cover this story? Because this reminds me of the, and it's not because I'm...
What story?
I'm not trying to shade any candidate, but let's face it. When Trump fucks up, you're going to hear about it. Or if something related to Trump fucks up, his kid goes to a meeting about dirt on Hillary Clinton, or he's scamming people at Trump University.
That's right.
Or his Trump water, or, you know, or he takes money from, he pays off, what's her name?
Stormy Daniels,
pays off Karen McDougal. I mean, we learn everything about that.
But that's all, I'm just going to say, that's all him.
Oh, no, but what about DTJ's meeting to get Hillary dirt?
With the
Michael Cohen or Paul Manafort or people related to him.
That's his election, yeah. That's his campaign.
Wait, so Hunter Biden is not, he's just off limits?
Is he part of the campaign? No, I don't think he's off limits at all.
But Hunter Biden is the reason that Donald Trump got impeached, because he wanted him to do an investigation into Joe Biden, which is related to Hunter Biden. The Ukraine, the president of Ukraine, the phone call?
Yeah, the perfect phone call, yeah. That's because of what Trump said.
That's about
said.
Joe Biden and Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't this story... This is his laptop, too. This is not Russian disinformation. This is his laptop.
I do think it is definitely a story that's worthy. And did you see CBS News this morning?
Who?
CBS?
No, News? I did not.
First story right off the top. And mainly it's a story now because Trump had talked about it yesterday at his rally.
Okay, so they didn't consider it a story until he talked about it.
Oh, no, wait.
It's far more newsworthy now that the president's out.
Oh, come on. It's a story. It's a huge fucking story.
Right, so
if DTJ or you know, come on, really?
We all have this circle jerk of remorse that the news doesn't vet anything anymore. And yet, if you don't have certain agencies jumping right in when this comes out of the New York Post,
yeah,
then it looks to you like they're what, holding things back.
Well, they don't. The news doesn't vet anything. They didn't vet. I looked it up yesterday because I was curious. The urinating prostitutes. New York Times did that story. The Washington Post did that story. New York Times did an opinion piece on that story. I think it was urinated prostitutes. Oh my, or something like that. I mean, and the Trump taxes. The, you know, because there was a, well, it's hack, could be hacking. And it's like, wait a second.
But if we want to talk about the kids, though, today's number one trend has been hashtag buy Tiffany, because Tiffany Trump had that birthday party. So that's
the top trending thing on Twitter.
Trend. Independent, Miami News, Miami Herald, all these different places, because she was partying there. They all picked up on it. But
I mean, you guys, if you think it's not a story, that's fine. I'm not going to argue because we're not even close. I'm so far into thinking this is a huge story. And it's a great story, too, for any prurient views, because they like clicks. When did they stop liking clicks?
No, I do think it's a story. I don't like the comparison to the Trump aspect of it. But that's just going
to
happen.
Comparison to what?
Well, because you listed all these things Trump did, but this is Joe Biden.
Wait a second. Hold on. Eric Trump was trending because of – did you see Eric Trump trending, Brandon? They do stories on Eric Trump. They do stories on DTJ. They do stories on – what's her name? Kim Guilfoyle.
I saw the story on Eric Trump, just a few weeks back, where he had to change his location because – he was going to a gun shop where somebody was an asshole or something like
no,
that.
One of the Wolverine Watchmen. That was locally, but that was a local story. I didn't see it on NBC Nightly News or ABC.
If Barron Trump, let's just say Barron Trump turned in his computer to somebody and somebody got a hold of it and had lots of emails and he was, you know, asleep with a crack pipe in his mouth. Well, let's make him 22 years old. And he had a 12-minute sex tape on there. It would be everywhere. Barron Trump? You don't think it would be? Nobody would care about that story?
No, I think some people will care about it, but you want it to be on every
podcast. Here's the
Eric
Trump Star Newsweek.
I'm talking about stations that are completely ignoring it. They're acting like it didn't happen. And I'll just give an example.
Daily Beast.
Put on the Today Show. Just hit the Today Show. Just hit it where it is. This is how it's covered. I don't even think this is accurate. Because I'm more interested.
They talked about it on the Today Show?
Yeah, they did. Briefly. GMA ignored it.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Hallie Jackson was at the town
hall. The network source says that, you know, the date, the format, the time was all the same as what Joe Biden's town hall was last week's event.
All right, it's always tricky when you're getting this close to an election in politics. Speaking of, the president's been talking a lot about Hunter Biden. Yeah. There's a bunch of
back and forth. So now the president has addressed it. Can just bring us up to date.
Okay, pause for a second.
This is a questionably sourced.
I don't care if the president addresses it. It's a story. It's a huge story. I mean, I don't care personally. And I thought that, you know, it reminds me of the way it's being handled and tiptoed around.
I think it's a story. You're joking. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not all
okay,
up in arms.
Okay, you think it's a small story. I think it's a big story. We'll never agree. We'll never get halfway, so we shouldn't even argue about it. We're not even close.
Up in arms about it.
I think it's a big story. And I'm not like, oh, my God. I'm not screaming about it. I'm fascinated by how it's handled because it reminds me of Joe Biden sexually assaulting the woman.
Sure.
That's because that story was certain publications really held back on it. I would rather they did, honestly, but they don't do it when it's other people. And I think that's intriguing. You know, when it was Kavanaugh, the Kavanaugh gangbang was on the front page of New York Times the day Michael Avenatti brought that story out. There was no vetting. Michael Avenatti says you can look it up and read it.
Twitter and Facebook suppress that story?
Sure they did. No, they don't suppress anything.
Did you hear why they claim they suppressed the New York Post one?
Wasn't it like because of an email address that was on there?
Email address and personal photos. In other words, it doxed somebody. They is kind of. Oh,
well, they always worry about that. They're always so good about never allowing anyone to be doxed on Twitter. There's people who openly say, dox this person! And 500 people do, and they never stop it. They don't.
How are they gonna
Am
stop
I wrong?
It?
I'm just telling you
There's
what
no
they
There's no way to stop it.
Okay, well, that's great. Anyway, here's Halle Berry. Listen to this.
To say the least, that
tell me this is Halle Berry. Halle Jackson. Tell me how accurate you think
Trump
this is.
President Trump and his allies are really trying to seize on here, alleging that Joe Biden may have had a meeting that was set up with somebody that Hunter Biden worked with on this Ukrainian company. Now, the story is so dubious, and we should note, by the way, that the Biden campaign says that meeting was never on Biden's official schedule. But Facebook and Twitter made moves to try to limit the spread of this story. And the Washington Post is reporting that some intelligence experts think this has the hallmark of like a disinformation campaign meant to interfere with the election, Savannah.
Yeah, and extraordinary because Twitter's CEO also said Twitter should have communicated better about why it was taking down the content.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hallie, thank you so much. We'll see you tonight
over.
In Miami.
Okay,
and
pause
again,
for a second.
As mentioned,
a disinformation campaign. It's his computer. It's his laptop with 40,000 emails, unless you believe that it's been stacked with things that he didn't do. You believe that's a fake computer, but they haven't even denied that.
It's a fake crack pipe, too.
Did you listen to any of the interview with the guy that owns the computer store?
No, I heard that.
I heard he was pretty zany.
Yeah, I heard some weird stuff about it.
Yeah.
By the way, his name is John Paul Mack something. I was like, is this a Beatles name?
John Paul Mack, no. Ringo Isaac, yeah.
I didn't know what
it's
the hell
it's
that
not,
was.
Though. He's...
I heard a lot of, there's a lot of people saying it's disinformation. It's Giuliani made it up.
Whatever. Aside from that, I think it's Hunter's computer, but boy, that was one wacky, press conference the guy did. And my favorite part was when they were asking him about like, how did Giuliani get it? And he said, well, when you're afraid and you don't know anything about the depths of the waters you're in, you want to find a lifeguard. And so they're like, what do you mean? And the guy goes, oh shit.
Actually, do we have it?
I can find it. It's the audio is terrible.
My opinion is the guy probably thought Giuliani would want it, and so he gave him a copy. He gave a copy to the FBI, and he gave it a copy to Giuliani.
I will say this. This is also in the universe. It's very unclear as to whether or not somebody came to him and asked for it or if he gave it because he contradicts himself multiple times in this hour-long
Well, that's an interesting sidebar because...
No, I know. And I'm not trying because people will fucking send shitty emails to me about whatever. But I do think that it's really interesting that they found that this wacky dude of all people is the one that found it. And he also claims, and this is the part that bothers me, he made a copy of the hard drive because he didn't want to end up like Seth Rich. Which is a fucking conspiracy theory, and it's bullshit.
Well, maybe that's why Hallie Jackson's so sure it's part of Russian disinformation, because he quoted Seth Rich.
That doesn't really help the whole story.
This doesn't matter what he says. It's Hunter's computer.
Doesn't matter what
No, it doesn't matter what he says. It's his emails.
I believe
it's video of him. The pictures are him. Does it really matter? I mean, does that change the story? Because this guy is iffy on what, how he gave it to Giuliani or why he gave it to him. I think he gave it to him because he wanted him to have it. That's my personal feeling. I don't think he was looking for safe harbor or whatever. I think he said, I bet Rudy Giuliani would like this. And it says Bo Biden Foundation on it, too. And the larger story, and there's so much more today, too. The larger story is Hunter Biden, who is in multiple rehabs, who gets kicked out of the reserves for cocaine, who is crashing rental cars, who is, I mean, spiraling wildly out of control, impregnates a stripper who he, the people at the strip club said, yeah, he's coming here and smoke crack night after night after night while he saw strippers in the champagne or whatever. Then he knocks up the other girl and he says he has no money. I mean, he told the court he had no money. And finally settled when they demanded his financial documents. Not that I'm not saying anything conspiratorial. I'm just saying this guy is an out of control, total loser. Before the, any of this started, by the way, Burisma, he was a, quote, lobbyist.
Yeah. No, he's a,
he has been trading on his father forever. Sure,
of course he has. He's a total joke.
So now today.
The wrong son died.
Wait, and wait a minute, though. How does he go to all these strip clubs and smoke crack? Doesn't he have a Doesn't he have a Secret Service detail? He's the son of a vice president.
No, this is before. This is, well, that was after
crack
his vice
whack.
President. I don't know. I don't know. I think he shed the detail on a few occasions.
Follow the Bush girls around still and some of the.
Well, they might have. I don't think. They can't stop him from going to a strip club. Huh. I mean, Secret Service, do they really stop 40-year-old adults from going places?
That's
I don't think
question.
They do.
Well, I mean, vice president. Do the vice presidential kids?
Yeah, I don't
Do they? That's a great.
Maybe it was made up. I don't know. That's what the stripper said, though. She said that he and people from the club said that he would smoke crack there. He did impregnate the stripper. We know that because he had a DNA test that proved he was the
Can't
father.
Can't they slap
of the
his
child.
Penis out of her? I mean, where is that Social Security or
I don't
Secret
think,
Service?
I really don't think Secret Service is in the business of doing
slapping
that.
Penises out of people.
Does Liz Cheney get Secret Service detail? I don't think so. Does she?
I wonder if Google knows that.
Maybe it's just presidential.
I have no idea. But anyway, if you want to see this story covered differently, go to Tucker Carlson last night. I sped through the first 3 minutes because he goes apeshit on Twitter and Facebook. And I really don't give a shit about Twitter and Facebook. I think all they're doing is drawing attention to the story, which is probably not what they want to do.
So,
but it gets into the well, actually, you know what's interesting? There's more to the story today. I think what they're going to do is they're going to give us pieces and pieces and pieces until Election Day. That's my guess.
This is where you want it?
Yeah.
Extensive knowledge about natural gas or Ukraine itself, though.
No, but I think that I had as much knowledge as anybody else that was on the board, if not more.
In the list that you gave me of the reasons why you're on that board, you did not list the fact that you were the son of the vice
president. Of course,
president.
Yeah. No.
What role do you think that played?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the vice president of the United States.
Oh, thanks for acknowledging reality. So we knew the outlines. What we didn't know until today was how brazen this was. Hunter Biden didn't simply sell access to his father, the vice president, or take cash to influence American foreign policy. No, it's weirder than that. As he schemed to extract more money from Burisma, Hunter Biden
comments.
Didn't refer to his father as his father. He referred to Joe Biden, the vice president, as, quote, my guy. On April 13th, 2014, for example, Hunter Biden wrote this to his business partner, quote, the announcement of my guy's upcoming travel should be characterized as part of our advice and thinking, end quote. Hunter Biden added that he needed to be, quote, protected financially and wanted a long-term role with Burisma. Quote, the contract should begin now, not after the upcoming visit of my guy. That should include a retainer in the range of $25,000.
This is peanuts compared
to China.
It's
not clear if Biden got that retainer, but we know he did get a high-paying job at Burisma. Then in May 2014, just weeks after Hunter Biden joined the board of that company, a top executive there let him know why he was being paid. Very explicitly, quote, we urgently need your advice on how you could use your influence to convey a message, signal, etc., to stop what we consider to be politically motivated actions. Quote, use your influence to convey a message. What message? What does that mean? Well, another email from the same executive obtained by the New York Post, dated April 17, 2015, explains in very clear terms what it means. Quote, dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure. Oh, that's what you're not allowed to read. And you can see why Facebook and Twitter don't want to allow you to read it. If Joe Biden met with Burisma executives at the request of his son for the profit of his own family, it becomes very clear that Joe Biden's previous denials were lies. Just last year, Joe Biden was telling us he had no idea what his son was doing at Burisma.
You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it. And there's nobody...
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But why would you trust his son?
The smell test. Like, when you're a vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was... there was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that
like
was wrong.
That?
Nothing on its face that was wrong. That was before we saw these emails. You'll remember that back in 2018, Joe Biden explained that he got the top prosecutor in Ukraine fired. That prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, said he was planning to investigate Burisma when he was stripped of his job. Here's how Joe Biden explained slash bragged about how he canned Viktor Shokin.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch.
He gets hard retelling the story.
Got fired.
Why is the vice president of the United States firing prosecutors in Ukraine? Pause for a moment and ask yourself.
I don't really understand
that.
Why.
That's bizarre behavior.
Just leave Hunter Biden out of it.
United States in any way. Why was he doing that?
Why is he doing that?
At the time, Biden's handlers denied there was anything wrong with this. They just said Shokin was corrupt, and somehow the world was benefiting by Shokin getting fired. They didn't explain how we'd benefit from that. Then last October, we showed you a photograph of Joe and Hunter Biden golfing with a board member at Burisma, Hunter Biden's business partner, a man called Devin Archer. The Biden campaign never explained that photograph. Our media, of course, never really followed up. Instead, just as they're now rushing to bury the New York Post story, CNN rushed into Joe Biden's defense.
The impeachment inquiry is centered on President Trump's attempts to get political dirt from Ukraine on Vice President Biden and his son Hunter. Mr. Vice President, President Trump has falsely accused your son of doing something wrong while serving on a company board in Ukraine. I want to point out there's no evidence of wrongdoing by either one of you.
That's a hard-hitting question.
A few months later, we got some sense why Anderson Cooper was so careful in the interview you just saw. In December, a voter in Iowa tried to ask Joe Biden about Burisma and his fitness for office. Joe Biden lost control of himself. He called the man fat and then challenged him to a push-up contest.
A damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. And you want to check my shape on it? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's do this run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take
it. Yeah! You showed him.
You said I set up my son to work in an oil company. Isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack. But look, fat, look, here's the deal.
Here's the deal. What is the deal, actually? That's a question every American, no matter what your political views,
all right. You guys look very tortured, so just pause it.
You might be wondering what Joe Biden thinks, but
anyway,
tortured. Just bored.
Yeah. Oh well, I'm sorry, it's so boring.
I will say the whole thing about having the prosecutor fired, it wasn't just the United States that wanted him out, the IMF.
But you know, no $1 billion, this guy didn't fire $1 billion and you know, whatever.
The EU wanted him out. There was a big battle in the Ukraine between Russia in the EU. Russia did not want them moving to the West.
It's convenient. I mean, it works. I don't really want to get into the conspiracy part of it.
People act like it was just because he was investigating Burisma and Biden wanted him out. And then that's the end of it right there. And it's just not. It's far more complex than that.
Well, he seems to go
just like the Russia investigation is far more complex than just the campaign team meeting.
But there's great interest in that story. I mean, there's incredible interest in that story. I mean, it never ends. There's an 18-month investigation, 2-year investigation on it. And now today,
there was an investigation into Hunter and Joe Biden too.
Oh, well. If the Republicans controlled Congress, that investigation would have been a lot different.
They controlled the Senate, and it was the Senate investigation.
Well, you mean the Grassley?
Yeah.
But that investigation does not exactly clear anyone.
Well, they cleared Biden. What
in the hell are you talking about?
Oh, it clear. All right, smartass. It clears, quote unquote, Joe Biden. But and now Joe Biden. Okay, by the way, do you see Hallie Jackson said he's cleared because they said the meeting wasn't on the schedule. Well, no, is he really going to say, I met with this Burisma guy?
That's
because
ridiculous.
No, he would never say that.
Sure, that's ridiculous.
But they have an email saying the guy's thanking Hunter for the chance to meet his father. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And isn't it interesting too today? And I'm sure nobody's reading this, but some people are. Hunter Biden traveled to China on Air Force Two and introduced Joe Biden to his partner, Jonathan C. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, he gets, and these emails are incredible. Hunter Biden is asking for $10 million a year for 3 years and wanted equity in a deal he said would be very interesting for my family. $30 million deal was struck, plus bonuses based on, and I quote, introductions alone.
Sure.
I don't know whose introductions are to, but it sounds interesting, doesn't it? Yi Xianming, and you know, I'm not an investigative reporter. I'm just reading the emails and some of the commentary, but I'm not really that interested in the commentary. I'm just interested in the raw facts. Yi Xianming, never heard of this guy in my life. And a lot of this story,
great
by
guy.
The way, I've never seen this story really fleshed out. And the Russian, the Moscow widow, never read a word about it until 2 weeks ago.
Until the Senate investigation.
And I still don't know much about it. But that was 2 weeks ago. That happened in what year did he get $3.5 million plus consulting money plus a loan? What was that, 2015 or something?
I don't know. But this China thing is 2017, too.
No. 2013, Hunter traveled on Air Force Two with Joe Biden, who was the vice president at the time, to meet Jonathan C. That was when they struck a deal. 10 days later, Yi Xianming, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Jinming.
Yeezy.
Jinming. He met Hunter Biden in 2016. He was Yi was arrested for bribery in Africa by the DOJ. This is the 3 year, $30 million consulting deal. Plus, there's many other things in this deal. This deal is very complicated. Like Burisma, this company in China is very corrupt. And Xianming, I'll just call him Yi.
And like Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is corrupt. I don't think there's any if.
Well, he did travel on Air Force Two in 2013 with his father and introduced him to this guy, Jonathan C., his business partner. And that was back. Okay, I'll go back to 2013 because he's vice president. It's more interesting. The Chinese company CEFC is a huge company. Hunter got equity, ownership of a holding company, huge consulting fees. Yi Xianming, by the way, who is now missing.
The company's also bankrupt, aren't they?
Yes, they're bankrupt.
Probably spent a lot of money for Hunter Biden.
Now, personally, if I were asked by this, at a minimum, I'd say I was embarrassed. I would say I was embarrassed as hell, and I would say it was horrible and terrible. Sure, and I certainly wouldn't challenge someone to a push-up contest.
Yeah, no, he handled it terribly.
So, you know, it's similar. The second Chinese deal is similar to Burisma. And there are, Yi gave Hunter Biden, Yi gave Hunter,
this is really a diamond?
Nothing. Yeah, a very large diamond, which no one
can quite trace
or find out what it is. CFC went bankrupt in 2020, and, you know, I don't really know what's going on. I don't think anything is going on there, but did you happen to see Hunter Biden's written flowchart, which is his handwriting? I mean, I don't think Hunter's given them a sample of his own, but they said that it appears to be very similar, if not exactly like his handwriting previously, his flow chart of the China deal.
Yeah.
Okay, he's got on the left-hand side, chairman. On the right-hand side, Hunter Biden. Going down the flow chart, the second blank is name, but it doesn't say whose name. On the other side, monochrome.
I assumed it would be the name of his company, whatever it would be.
Well, we don't really know. I would assume it is, too, but I don't think there is a name yet because he's splitting it 50-50.
Yeah.
And it's called Hudson West, which is now dissolved. But Hunter was going to be paid, in addition to this deal, this 50-50 deal, he got a line of credit that was, I guess they spent $100,000 or a little over $100,000 on plane tickets, Apple products, hotel rooms, restaurants. The line of credit was used by James Biden, Sarah Biden, Hunter Biden, and Hunter also got $1 million in retainer from Yi's, I don't know what this guy's name is. He's an associate of Yi, and Hunter was supposed to counsel him on U.S. law. That's what he's paid $1 million for. Another consulting deal, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, this is all new today. Also, the fee was paid by Chi Ping Patrick Ho, who has been convicted of bribery to African government officials. He spent 3 years in prison, and I guess he's been deported to Hong Kong. The other guy, Yi is missing. Chi is not missing. Chi has been deported to Hong Kong. So these are the people Hunter Biden does business with. And it's interesting that James and Sarah Biden show up here, because James Biden shows up as part of Burisma, too, and receives large consulting fees. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He received large consulting fees from the Moscow, the wife of the mayor of Moscow, $1.3 million. That's according to Newsweek. I don't know. You know, these are all new. They're all new to me. I mean, I'm trying to decipher this because I've never read this stuff before. And Hunter Biden's emails and his flowchart, which, I mean, if you look at this flowchart, you go, really, this is how a company is made up?
I'm just laughing because I remember a company writing up one that looked very similar to like that for this podcast.
Well, for this podcast.
I know.
I mean, that's a little different.
That's why I was laughing.
Yeah, it's a little...
I just don't remember if you remember that flowchart. Somebody who was mentioned before the show with you, Brandon.
I need a current affair to sort all this out for me.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a chaotic story.
Well, can you believe that no one's really done a great investigative piece on all of it? I mean, we're going to get it now because the China stuff just came out
from the emails.
Yeah, no, the China stuff is this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's brand new. It's like, where are the investigative? Where are the people that do this? I mean, honestly, we've seen incredible investigative work done on...
Too busy making fake news.
Look at all the work that's been done on Cohen and Manafort and, you know, all of this stuff. But why don't we have this story? This is an incredible story. And then Hunter Biden has, in addition to, you know, the $10 million a year and the $1 million consulting fee to help teach him U.S. law and the line of credit used by Hunter, James, and Sarah Biden, we have the...
Who's Sarah?
James's wife.
Okay.
Hunter also says that he has office expectations that he will elaborate, and James Biden needs a travel allowance of $15,000 a month. I can tell you more about James Biden. The provisional agreement equity is also written down in pencil. It distributed as follows: 20% Hunter, 20% RW, and I think they said who that is, and I can't remember offhand. 20% to JG, 20% to TB, 10% to Jim, no last name. I'm assuming is that James Biden, and then 10%. Held for the big guy. Now, I don't know who the big guy is. I don't know why you don't identify who the big guy is. But, you know, I think most normal people don't use initials when they're describing stuff like this. The New York Post has had most of this since September, but they are going through, as you can imagine, thousands and thousands of emails.
I thought they said they just got it on Sunday.
They just got the file Sunday. Oh, okay. They had the story over a month ago. They spent 2.5 days going through myriads, piles of stuff. And this is that's why it's coming out in drabs. And I suspect there'll be more drabs, but, you know, I can't say that for sure. So, you know, I think it's, first of all, it's just incredible. I mean, this is this fucking loser son of the future president, the former vice president, well, future president if he wins. And these are international deals with countries that, you know, were not really friendly with China and Russia and the Ukraine. It's kind of astounding. And then when you throw James Biden in, it's even more interesting. And then if you bring in Frank Biden, if you remember Frank, punch at Frank Biden. His
Biden!
Story, this guy, you know, and anyone can have something like this happen. You're renting a Jaguar to impress your friends who are 20 years younger than you.
Yeah, right. That's very common.
And, your friend, you're letting him drive because you want to impress him, and you've picked up his chick friends who are younger also, and your friend isn't driving fast enough to show off the rental car that you dished out the money for, so you tell him to punch it, and you take the car out of automatic into manual, and you start pulling the gears yourself, and the guy can't handle it because he's a pussy, obviously, and he hits another car. A man is killed. Biden... this is Frank Biden, and this has nothing to do with anything, really. Well, it sort of does.
Hold on to your dick!
The three witnesses in the car tell him... The three witnesses in the car said that Frank Biden told him to keep going and that they'd been drinking. And so it becomes this messy legal thing where Frank Biden was not charged. The driver was charged. The family who lost their father... and their son and their brother and so on and so forth, they were so angry about Frank Biden that he wasn't charged that they sued him. And they won $1 million. And I think the main reason they won $1 million is because he didn't show up for court. He never answered the lawsuit. He left the state. He left a lot of debts behind.
Yeah.
And they spent a long time. I mean, you can imagine when you don't have resources. And this really, again, this doesn't have a whole lot to do with Joe Biden. But
that is very mature of you.
They spend a lot of time trying to find this guy, and they finally find him in Florida a couple years ago, where, and again, I mean, this is all kind of weird. He holds...
You've probably never even heard of our family, huh?
He holds numerous executive positions. And, you know, it's sort of couched as, well, yeah, he's been trading on the Biden name for a long time. But he also lives in a $600,000 house, and he has two brand new Range Rovers. Now... What the lawyers did, they linked him to 16 companies in various positions, including some in executive positions, and some like the Berman Law Group, where Biden appears in their TV commercials as Frank Biden, which... Can we play that commercial, by the way?
Yeah, we played it before. I mean, he really does a good job selling it. I'll give him that.
You know, and this, of course, everyone knows he's Frank Biden. He's Joe Biden's brother, I guess. He's paid as a senior advisor to this company, and this has nothing to do with U.S. policy.
I'm a non-attorney senior advisor to clients statewide who need diversified business solutions.
I'm going to start introducing myself,
by the way.
Non-attorney. How weird is that? Back that up. Listen to him say it again. I'm Frank Biden, non-attorney.
I think he's pretty up on the legal stuff.
I'm Frank Biden. I'm the non-attorney senior advisor to clients statewide who need diversified business solutions through the Berman Law Group. I'm available for consultation with attorney Teddy Berman in any of our offices statewide. Contact our main office in Boca Raton to schedule a consultation anytime.
Yeah, he's
1-800-375-5555.
He's a senior advisor.
That's true. Yeah.
He's paid a lot of money.
Where's Hunter?
So anyway, these 16 companies are all contacted. No one responds to the lawsuit. They then get what's called a debtor's examination on Frank Biden, which, again, all this costs money. I mean, attorneys, I'm assuming these two daughters who've grown up are operating on pro bono, probably. Somebody's trying to help them. And the debtor's examination reveals that Frank Biden has $29 to his name.
Well, Florida. I mean, isn't it easy to hide?
It's easier. And also,
can't touch his, I don't know if he has a pension for anything.
Frank Biden seems to put a lot of things in his wife's name. And I don't know why that would protect him, but it does. And Joe Biden was eventually, and I think we talked about this, Joe Biden was eventually reached after many, many, many efforts.
That was a good move.
They were trying to wrangle Joe Biden into this. And in 2018, he finally answered. No, in 2019, he finally answered and said that he gave them his deepest sympathies, but that Frank is, and I quote, penniless. Penniless. Living in a $600,000 home in Florida. He's got two Range Rovers. Now, Frank Biden is not Joe Biden's responsibility. But
well, you should borrow money from Hunter and Jim.
Yeah, you would think that the Biden family could do something. And actually... somebody did something because they reached an agreement about, let's see, how many days to the election now?
19? 16?
It's currently started!
Okay, about a month ago, they reached an agreement. And they even on the other end said, well, it was kind of mysterious, but we reached an agreement. We won't reveal, you know, exactly
what happened. Something's going on and somebody's not telling me something.
Now, the penniless part is interesting because... Hunter Biden said the same thing about his paternity suit. He said that he, too, had no money, that he had no income, And had not had income since I don't know when. Maybe Burisma ended when Joe Biden announced he was running for president. So maybe it was since then. I don't know if his consulting deals ended.
They knew.
And when the judge, who got pretty sassy, the judge demanded his financial information, they staved it off as long as they could. And then he settled. And I don't know what he's paying this girl for the baby he never sees. But again, that has nothing to do really with Joe Biden. Now, the story I didn't even get into, and I don't even know which Biden it is. It's either James or Frank, or unless there's another Biden. Somebody got a contracting deal in Iraq through the U.S. government to build 1,000 homes, or is it 100,000 homes? I don't know what the fuck.
I think that was George Bluth.
Yeah, that's the plot of Arrested Development.
It is. It is the exact plot of Arrested Development.
Did they borrow it from a Biden family member?
Maybe. It could have been it. I'll have to rewatch it.
That was to build houses.
I'm not joking. There's a story, and the story was so long. And you know, the story about Frank Biden in Florida, that's done by a local investigative reporter down there.
Yeah.
And I've never seen the story. I've really never seen. I mean, it's not really reported on. No one else seems to have much interest in it. And the Iraq story, again, very complicated. I didn't have time to read it.
James Biden.
Okay, that's James Biden. Well, James Biden, oh, boy.
I mean, that story goes way back. There's lots of
the James Biden story sort of lands in Ukraine, too, which is also rather interesting. And a loan that James Biden got for $500,000 from a guy named John Hanansky. And what happened, the only reason this came up was because around the time, I'm not sure what year this is. This is 2014 or 15, I believe. While people were looking at Hunter Biden, this was going on around the same time. People weren't really looking at Hunter Biden then. A donor with deep ties to Ukraine.
Where's Hunter?
Was loaning James Biden $500,000 because he was struggling to purchase a multi-million dollar vaccation home. Actually, it's dubbed the Biden Bungalow. $2.5 million home in Florida. He borrowed it from a corporate entity, 1018 PL LLC, run by John Hunansky. After much detail.
Great LLC name.
They learned that he is at the other end of this money, a Ukrainian-American businessman who has been a longtime donor to Joe Biden. Joe Biden went to his daughter's wedding. I mean, isn't that nice? So apparently this guy's a rather important donor. Now, Biden also uses Hunansky's plane in accordance with Senate rules, of course. And I think Biden's campaign pays him back, or they have paid him back in the past. Or that's what they say they do. And James is – oh, I'm sorry. I'm on James Biden, not John Hunansky. Okay. Spokesperson for James and Sarah acknowledges that Hunansky provided a series of loans, and included in that series is the $500,000 loan for this home. Debt is secured by the Biden residence, and the Bidens are paying 6% interest on it, which is above prevailing rates. But why don't they borrow from a bank? Isn't that kind of weird? Why would you pay more interest? Oh, well, it's because they can't borrow from a bank.
Because they are penniless?
They weren't really in a good financial position. A bank wouldn't loan them any money.
Oh.
So James and Sarah Biden got their and this is the James and Sarah Biden, by the way, who had the credit line on the Chinese company, the shell company that Hunter Biden was part of, and spent, I don't know how much of the $100,000 they spent, but they got some of it. James is the guy that got the consulting fees through Burisma, or through the Moscow Widow money, which Hunter got. Through his company that he says he doesn't own, but it's the same name as the other company, and it appears that he does indeed own that company.
I'm going to start a new account, and that's the way it is.
It's a whole lot easier than the C.R. Kelly way. So James and Sarah Biden get their $2.5 million home, and they get a loan of $2.1 million. Now, it comes up shortly after this purchase that they had just missed out on paying income tax of $619,000. Now, why James Biden owes $619,000 in income tax is very interesting, because that's kind of hard to explain.
Wow, that was a good move.
So there was a lien put on the house. And while this was going on, someone did extensive renovations to the house, which is interesting when there's a lien on the house. And another $75,000 lien was placed on the home by a contractor who wasn't paid. So this debacle, the federal income tax, the liens, explains why a bank would not loan money to James and Sarah Biden. But John Hunansky did, $500,000.
Don't take 6 to 7 business days to clear. Does that make sense?
Now, shortly after the $500,000 loan, this story really has nothing to do with anything, but it's kind of interesting. James Biden got a 7-figure insurance claim after Hurricane Irma.
On that house?
On that house. So he did massive renovations, according to, well, at least there was a lien placed on the house over the $75,000, and he did say he was doing renovations. And in fact, they tried to sell the house after the renovations were made and bragged about them in the $6 million price for the house they bought for $2.5 million. But then they got the Hunansky loan, and they settled the debts, they settled the lien. I don't know how they settled $700,000 with $500,000 loan, but they did, and stranger things have happened. February of 2019, the Bidens sold the house they paid $2.5 million for, had a $1 million insurance claim for, and also that they, whatever they did to it, they claimed that they did extensive renovations. They sold the home in 2019.
That's a nice place.
They wanted $6 million in 2015. They got $1.35 million for the home.
$3 and something and change.
What the fuck happened there?
Wait, say it again. How much?
They got $1.35 million for a home they listed at $6 million in 2015 before they needed the Hunansky loan.
Short sale.
It's pretty weird, though.
What year was it again?
2019.
Huh.
And the, you know, who bought the Smiths, the Jones, Trudy, the Fellhauers? No.
Ooh.
Well, somebody who they wanted to give a good deal to.
S.C. Keywaden LLC bought the home. Two Florida architects and a businessman named John Cooney, who they tried mercifully to reach, but when they did reach him, he would not comment on the purchase of the home and what S.C. Keywaden LLC, I don't know, I mean, who fucking knows what it is. But the bottom line is they got $1.35 million for a home. They had a $2.1 million loan. They had a $500,000 loan. They got $1 million in, you know, storm damage. They got all these renovations done, but somehow the home's only worth $1.35 million. They sell it to an LLC, and the bank dismissed them from the mortgage and said they paid, and there's some term, the payment in full or something like that. Hunansky, the Ukrainian businessman who Biden goes to his wedding, he filed a release of mortgage but did not acknowledge full payment. So apparently they are released from the mortgage, but they did not have to pay Hunansky back in full. So I don't know what that means. It's pretty crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. And, you know, maybe if for those of you who are completely bored, I apologize. I just, you know, it's just all very weird. And
Interesting.
I don't know anything about the building homes in Iraq. I don't know anything about Frank Biden's 16 positions he has. James Biden was principal. He was a principal with American Holdings. He acquired and managed rural hospitals, filed bankruptcies, and there are accusations of trading on the Biden name again and also of fraud, but James Biden has never been charged. James Biden. So anyway, that's...
He also opened up a nightclub right after Biden won his first Senate campaign, so...
Yeah, and I think James Biden was a lobbyist, too. Hunter Biden made a lot of money lobbying. Mm-hmm. Hunter Biden also made money with John Kerry's son. And John Kerry's son splintered from Hunter Biden in a very acrimonious split because Hunter Biden took the job with Burisma, and John Kerry's son felt that was, I don't know what he thought, but he apparently didn't like it. We know that. Although John Kerry will not say anything about it for some reason. Yeah. I wouldn't want to talk about it either.
Pretty easy to get nice loans when he's a senator from Delaware.
I don't know what this.
There's a reason a lot of major corporations incorporate in Delaware.
Oh, that's right. Because the
very favorable to banking.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep.
So of course, they're going to return the favor.
Is there anything? By the way, is there anything new on Hunter Biden today? Because this story about the China thing,
that was
this morning. I'm assuming that they're going through more emails because it sounds like the New York Post has a room full of people going through email after email after email, and they of course have been given a little guidance, but you know they have to for them to publish it. Although Hallie Jackson calls them a tabloid, I thought that was an interesting choice of words, wasn't it?
They've always been called a tabloid, but it's not. I think that word is a little misleading.
When they do an investigative piece like that, to call them a tabloid, it kind of suggests that it's bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And actually, she said it was bullshit in so many words, as did Hunter, or rather, what's his name? Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper. Was that the most – that's really not how you ask a guy a tough question, in my opinion.
But technically, all a tabloid is a fold. It's just folded differently.
Yeah,
but when people hear that,
when you say the word, it has a different meaning.
Well, they think of the Inquirer and the Globe, and
so the way I understand it as of now is that Joe Biden, it was not on his schedule. Story's over. It's nothing, and that's probably about where it'll stand. I suspect, because I don't know what. What do you do? Is somebody going to really prove that he met with him? Is somebody going to go through surveillance tapes or something? No, probably not.
Well, no, I would assume that there'd be another investigation opened up. Just like in 2016 when the investigation was reopened to the emails.
Well, the 10% held by the big guy. We don't know who the big guy is. We don't know who Jim is.
Probably Obama.
What's interesting, too, is today I heard Obama, something that he said in a podcast – and I thought, it's interesting that Obama's really said, has he said anything about this?
No.
I mean, he won't. I would assume he won't say one word. But
I agree.
I would have to believe, there are people in the State Department who were upset about this and had, I don't know how much they knew. I'm sure they hadn't read as many emails as New York Post has read, but, they were not happy, and they told him there were a lot of red flags going on. But
the only breaking
nobody news, wanted to listen.
The only breaking news I see in the New York Post is that Le'Veon Bell has signed with the Chiefs.
Oh,
which is going to end up being a great move for him and the Chiefs, probably. And
who's their starting running back?
The badass rookie Edwards-Helaire from LSU. Brandon, you know him because of fantasy.
Is he doing well?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah,
actually,
he's doing well.
Yeah.
You see, this is what they did with Shady McCoy last year.
Mm-hmm.
They had Damian Williams, who was expected to be a good running back, and then they said, hey, I know Shady McCoy. Let's bring him here. Then everybody just kind of took touches away from each other. It's great for the team, terrible for you fantasy owners out there.
But another Chief running back news. Do you remember Mike Weber? Or Weber? Is it Weber or Weber?
From Ohio State?
From Castag went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
He's apparently already out of football, which...
Really?
Wow, that happened fast. Yeah, he declared early. I think he signed with two teams, played for two teams, won a Super Bowl ring last year. Now he is selling that Super Bowl ring.
Oh, man.
1 month after getting the ring, he's already put it up on the market. So $55,000, you can have last year's chief Super Bowl ring from Detroit's very own Mike Weber. Are you surprised he would sell it that quick? What does he care?
Well, you know what? He probably got his bonus money. He got earned his NFL salary for a couple of years. Probably blew it out his ass. And so now
he was on the practice squad last year. Gets a Super Bowl ring, and now he's out of football. I mean, I'm not surprised.
What was the last year he played at Ohio State? 2017?
Two years ago.
2018?
I guess, yeah.
Wow, that's fast.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins is doing pretty well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a good team.
He's a badass.
How's Jonathan Taylor doing?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I haven't seen him in a movie in years, so he must still have all that money from when he was in Home Improvement and Man of the House, and he did the live action Pinocchio.
I'm referring to my second favorite Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin.
Oh, Jim Irsay. Ask your buddy Irsay.
Is he playing, though? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is he doing well? Playing.
That team has some work to do still, though. They're not... Well,
Trudy, talk about Dr. Roche, because I'm going to look up Jonathan Taylor's stats.
Thomas, yeah.
Because I would have preferred the Lions picked Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins, but they chose Andre Swift, who they said is better. So I'm just kind of interested in seeing how those guys are doing.
Yeah.
You can go the Spanx route and be uncomfortable, or you can evolve into a more contoured, younger-looking you, basically, with face and body. You can get your Evolve treatment on in three different ways. You can trim, you can tone, you can tighten. It performs all of those procedures non-invasively. If you're trying to reduce your waistline and flappy arms and thighs, that's how you get it done. And they now are, for the month of October, offering 18 treatments of trim, tone, and tight, plus Derona and Virju lasers, which basically the effect is to contour your body and minimize the cellulite, make you bikini ready. $5,800 worth of body contouring for just $2,500 at Dr. Roche's office. And that's not all in October. $500 off one body part, liposuction, and $3,500 if you've just decided you want to go saline breast implants or breast augmentation, breast lifts. You can hook that up. I've actually been seeing great results with Evolve, probably the flattest my stomach has ever been. That's pretty thrilling. Hubba, hubba. And I just got Morpheus 8 in skin and neck tighten. That is a great procedure. Ooh. That you can get Pronox during the whole thing. You don't have to be knocked out. And the Pronox is basically nitrous, which is a pleasant way to get these procedures that are minimally invasive, that involves a little microneedling and radio frequency, and you just kind of feel decent all the way through. Yeah, so it's and it's also produced great results. So you should check it out. Go for a teleconsultation at Dr. Roche's office. That's over the phone, so you really don't have to go anywhere. You can do it on your lunch hour at 248-338-1110.
Luke Nowacki, Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. If you're looking for long-term strategy or you're looking for a financial plan, Luke is a guy to talk to at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. He's got balls. He's not afraid of investing. But he wants to know what you want to do. Are you a long-term person? Are you a growth person? Are you a slow growth person? Are you a radical growth person?
Do you want to see my balls?
Are you a risk taker? He takes all those things into account and then comes up with hopefully an idea, a portfolio for you, or maybe you have money on the side you want to spend and you're not sure, or maybe you have investments. You want someone to look at them, 401k. Maybe you want to start a college savings plan. Maybe, how many maybes can there be? Is your company in the right investments? Is your pension fund properly invested?
Maybe.
Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of
Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Hey,
there's another hot chick on Wheel of Fortune, just saying.
Oh.
See her?
Oh, yeah.
We learn
she's prettier
her?
Than the other girl.
I think she is, too.
I hope she doesn't have a man voice.
Yeah, really stupid name, Cameron.
I'm good.
Good.
Hang on. You got to hear Pat introduce people, or else it doesn't count,
right?
Do
you write some poetry?
I do.
Just for fun?
Yes, well, actually, I'm actually working on a little pamphlet, booklet of poetry.
That's not her.
No one's going to read your pamphlet of poetry.
Pamphlet.
Well, here tonight.
Appreciate it.
Cameron, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Cameron Johnson, Santa Clarita, California. Let's hear the Cameron Johnson story. I know there's one child, right?
Just one, yes. She started kindergarten.
She sounds hot.
Fun.
Yeah.
She taught me this Pledge of Allegiance.
I want to hear about your
kids. Are they really intentionally picking hotter chicks? Are they going the way of social media?
I think so.
They should.
Okay, God, yeah. I bet you did. What do you like to do when you're not chasing after her?
I like to craft. If it involves glitter and sequins, I'm
all in. Oh, my God, what a bore.
They definitely don't care about voices on this show.
Or personalities.
We're going to do
it's kind of strange to me. I mean, you've got to be a hot chick to be on an NFL sideline. You've got to be a hot chick to host a football show on ESPN. Is there anything left for people that aren't hot chicks?
Yeah, singers, apparently.
They're all hot and skanky, too, though, generally.
I don't know.
I mean, who isn't hot?
Lizzo.
Yeah, but she's happy to be fat. She wanted to
Billie
be fat.
Eilish. Billie Eilish is very mad at the body shamers again because of that picture that came out.
But that's they're such rare... I mean,
models can be huge now.
Yeah, there's a couple. Well, they all call themselves models, but are they really models?
Trudy, you mentioned that weird name of a medicine or something or a thing. Did you see the Free Press story about purple heroin?
Purple heroin? No.
Did you see it, Drew?
Is that today's paper?
Yeah.
Was that a subscription only?
That would explain it for me, too.
Really? It's $1. You guys can afford $1.
I know.
You know what? I'll be honest. I started to sign up, and I didn't have a password.
That
your phone will give you a password.
That kills me
every
time.
I know, but I didn't want to bother. I didn't want to go to the trouble.
You know, that stops me dead in my tracks, too.
You guys are missing out on some great journalism.
I know.
And you're going to hurt ML's feelings. So
can he just tell me? I mean, I know him.
I'll tell you. I'll print him out. You guys can have
Teresa was on Let It Rip last night?
LaDuff was on there. Saw Charlie.
What were they doing?
Karen, I don't know. I just saw that.
Oh, Karen. I saw Karen let it rip.
Wait, they,
on
were, they were all on? The Red Shovel Network was representing? Well,
no, Karen was on Sunday, I saw. And by the way,
let it rip.
She was all dressed up. She looked really good. And I don't know. What was Teresa on last night? They couldn't even let it rip. It was a Wednesday night. That doesn't make sense, does it?
No, they had a Let It Rip last night.
Oh, they did? Okay. Because there were so many people on the Let It Rip. The Zoom was like 40 people or something. Like, how can they have Let It Rip? Okay. Oh, I guess they all talk at once.
And it's funny.
That's cool.
Naturally,
do they?
Instead of three people talking at once, you have 40.
Naturally, my eyes immediately went to Charlie. I don't know why. He just really grabs
I didn't even see him on there. I saw Teresa. I was like, there's Teresa.
Well, now I'm now questioning if I really even saw him.
Oh, maybe you hallucinate Charlie LaDuff. You wouldn't be the first person.
It's probably cued close to. Oh, yeah, we went back for the commercial. That's right.
It won't take that long to see.
But if they all talk at once, don't they cancel each other's mics out? See, it doesn't work as well.
Oh, there's Teresa. She's popping off.
Ever seen that room in their house?
Whoa, wait. I got to come over.
See, where? Oh, because she did, you know, a lot of the. She was in the courts the other day. ML got mad. He thought I was renaming the show the Teresa. Okay. Soul of Detroit.
I swear to God, there's more people on Zoom. It looked like smaller quadrants when they introduced. Oh, maybe it wasn't. Okay.
I just want to hear who will have to introduce.
Another full house tonight on the panel. The award-winning reporter for the Detroit Free Press, with a special focus on federal court proceedings, Teresa Bulges is here, and so is the attorney who represents one of the defendants now facing charges. Attorney Mark Zatawa here to make his case.
Good luck with that.
And so is attorney Jerry Johnson, who specializes in defending Second Amendment rights. Plus the dynamic duo, media consultant Karen Dumas and prize-winning reporter Charlie LaDuff, co-hosts of the No BS News Hour podcast.
Where's Charlie?
Also called in an expert on domestic terrorism.
Charlie's washed out by his lighting.
Homeland Security and the FBI.
He is, isn't he?
I think he has the best lighting there. Him and Teresa.
The man who knows something about everything. Attorney, well, anchor, Charlie.
I got Karen a new camera. I'm giving it to her tomorrow.
Because you were at that bond hearing this week, and you heard details about...
There's definitely lighting. I can see why it's important. If you want to be on a Zoom on TV, I don't want to be. But for anybody else, I can see why it's important.
Yeah.
Because you either jump out. I mean, to have a really dark background would be great.
Is Teresa in a closet?
I think so.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Wow.
Wait, is she using, did ML let her use the real mic?
Wait, is she using Red Shovel equipment?
Yeah.
Well, I'm
Do
glad.
You sanction that?
I'm glad we busted him on TV.
No, she's not.
We didn't know that the ringleader thought about taking Governor
Whitmer. Why didn't he let her use the mic?
I don't know. I can't wait to ask him
is
about it.
Is it over there?
Yes, it is.
Then why would he make her use that mic?
Oh, he's very ethical.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm texting him right now.
I think he's getting competitive with her.
I'm texting him right now. Here's read this story about purple heroin while I text him.
What story?
Purple heroin. Public health authorities issued warnings about a new drug called purple heroin, which is tied to overdoses.
Purple drapes. All my life I've wanted purple drapes.
In the UP, in the death of one person in West Michigan, purple heroin, which gets its name because it's often purple in color, contains the synthetic opioid fentanyl, acetaminophen, fluprazolam, an illicit sedative similar to Xanax, buspirone, an anti-anxiety drug, niacinamide, a form of vitamin B. Why is that in there?
It enhances the uptake.
Oh, is that right?
Acetaminophen.
Oh, Trudy, you really know your stuff.
I know my niacin.
You're not even getting to the best ingredient in purple heroin.
Chlorpheniramine.
Trudy, how did you know that vitamin B hurries the uptake of the good drugs?
I know that from...
There must be some drug usage here that pointed that out. I think we're onto something.
Don't act like you don't know about drugs when you do.
I think it was part of a diet system where you use the right thing and you use the niacin too, which
I use niacin.
LSD, PCP, heroin, cocaine. What else you want to know?
How do you know what
when I was 18 years old, I used to use niacin to pass drug tests. Yeah,
really?
Or that?
Oh,
yeah. Well. I used to use niacin to burn the weed out of my system before I had to take a piss into a cup. Yeah.
There's also a new drug called Brorphine.
This is the
dumbest. How can you spell a new drug Brorphine? That's bullshit. That's ridiculous. How is anybody supposed to pronounce Brorphine?
It needs another vowel. But read about this drug. It's fucking nuts.
Little is known about Brorphine. Not many people know about it. It was a surprise to us as well. Like fentanyl, it is a powerful synthetic opioid. Oh, you know what's a synthetic opioid? What is it? Oh, my God. Fentanyl. I used to get more like Borophil. I used to get a synthetic opioid for my back.
Yeah.
And it's non addictive. And it was really good.
Whoa.
I mean, I would call it psychologically addictive. Well, definitely.
Some of
that.
Whoa.
Oh, what's the name of that? Synthetic opioid. Dr. Rush used to get samples. Not saying gave me any.
But you're not saying you didn't.
I'm not saying anything. No, I'm saying he didn't give it to me. But
well, I don't want any of this
frying. That stuff was good. Anyway, it really took the pain away.
Yeah, clearly, it just totally distracted you.
Do I have any around?
Like, oh my God, you're like Prince.
It's a powerful synthetic opioid, though it is not a fentanyl analog, said Voha. In addition, it is not approved for any medical uses. It is not readily detectable. Well, it's not approved for any medical uses? Then how?
My back!
It's not approved for any, but it might be used medically by some.
So they've already got it on the street, though?
What's up, brofine?
You can get that fast.
I think it should be brofine, not brofine.
It is not readily detectable in standard hospital blood tests. Yeah! Its potency is believed to be similar to that of fentanyl, which is 50 to 100 times more powerful than morphine.
Why do you need fentanyl?
Yeah, why do you need fentanyl and morphine? I think they should cut it like they cut every good drug and make it less powerful and make more money. What's wrong with these dealers? They're giving people too much. Van Buren County overdose death. Oh, there is an overdose. Of course there's an overdose.
It's hurting me very badly. I'm in pain all the time.
So was there just one overdose death?
I thought it said there was two Upper Peninsula and then another one.
Oh, one in West Michigan. Yeah. Okay. So, and the reason this is so interesting is because brorphine is in the mix.
Yes. And well, you can't detect it. There's no test for it. There's no,
and how did they detect it? How did they figure out brorphine?
I don't know the story.
The Van Buren County overdose test is the first in the state tied to brorphine. Aren't there enough fucking ways to overdose? Jesus.
The deceased had also, many ways.
There's always new ways.
Consumed fentanyl. Not including Michigan, brorphine is tied to at least 7 deaths across the nation, 1 in Arizona, 3 in Minnesota, 3 in Minneapolis. It is believed.
That's not bad, 7.
To be, I know, but it's new. And plus, people probably aren't detecting it when they do, you know, when they do the autopsy or whatever. It's believed to be responsible for 3, possibly 4 overdoses in Michigan. Yeah, how about that?
Really kind of interesting, I think. I don't know.
Breaking news with Mort Grimm.
So I texted him. I said, some people are wondering why Teresa didn't use the real microphone and iRig setup that you have at home.
And
ML replied, because I was using it to speak to a journalism class at the same time she was
on. What? So is journalism class more important than her on TV?
I responded with, that takes precedent. And he wrote, yes. And I said, did she think so or did she not even bother to ask?
She doesn't know.
I get the three dots. He's responding right now.
But
I agree with my wife.
But what is the point of teaching journalism anymore? I know I love the fact that he wants to do that.
Let him hear you.
Well, I know, because he seems like the last person who really wants that to be.
Is it possible that he's more broadcast savvy because we made him use that mic because he didn't sound good on our Zoom? And so maybe Teresa hasn't had the same phenomenon happen to her?
Well, it's funny.
She works for a newspaper.
When she was on ML Solo Detroit with him in the same house in different locations.
Oh, they were both on?
This was on the Zoom?
I didn't know
this
that.
This is a few episodes ago.
I would have listened to that.
This is a few episodes ago. But, of course, he's on a mic and sounded wonderful. And she was just in the echo.
I'm letting the cat out of the bag to Teresa. I can't let this go on. Teresa. By the way, why is it Teresa? She's the only Teresa I know in the world. It always screws me up.
Is that spelling that? Oh, he said the class I was speaking to ran long. She had planned to use it, but it wasn't an option because the class I was speaking to was fast.
Oh, he couldn't take 1 minute off of the class. I got it. Like, my wife's about to be on TV.
He said the class I was speaking to was fascinated by my brilliance and wouldn't let me go.
That's good.
That's funny.
Well,
well, he couldn't just end it to give the mic, I suppose, to Teresa.
That'd be abrupt.
You know, I thought it was so nice today that Trump's niece, who wrote the book.
Oh, she should just shut up.
I can't believe she's talking again.
This is so fucking stupid.
Did you guys see this?
She was on CNN.
I didn't see her on CNN. I just heard about this morning that
they had it on the news.
Yeah, because unlike Hunter Biden, this was covered by everyone.
I know the story.
Barron Trump has COVID. And, you know, he's recovered. And Trump said, hey, yeah, for a while he was okay. I don't even know if he knew he had it.
Two seconds.
Yeah.
By the way,
Is Barron like 6'8"?
Yeah, he's tall. Yeah.
Just had
he
a cool tall. Spurt. Man,
and he's kid. What, 11? He's going to get like what, 3 feet tall?
Teach him an outside jump shot, man.
Yeah. I immediately wanted to know, though, because the story on Barron having COVID, mm-hmm. the way it was covered was they mentioned that Trump's niece was a guest on CNN yesterday discussing Barron's COVID. And I was like, yeah. Wait a second. So she, after writing this book, she's still hanging out with Barron Trump?
No, she's not.
But she was on CNN, and I wondered, did they call her or did she call them?
Oh, I'm sure they called her.
She said that Barron was put in danger by Trump and Melania, and therefore it's their fault he has COVID. Boy, nobody wants anything to be the person's fault that it occurs to. They always want someone else to be complicit.
Are you saying it's Barron's fault?
How does Trump's niece know how much danger he was put in?
She doesn't.
But she's on CNN. Oh,
well. Well, when CNN call, if, you know. That's why ML is teaching journalism, so we don't have to put up with people making up stories in the future.
The great Barron had no symptoms, I guess. But anyway, who cares? He's okay. And they had an attached story about that, about how schools are not big spreaders. Because, and I don't know. I don't think he goes to a school, does he? Probably.
They're all online right now. His school. He goes to the same one the Obamas went to, doesn't he?
Oh, in New York. That's right.
No. In D.C.
Oh.
I thought he did. I thought he went to that
same. I don't know. I honestly have no idea. But, you know, they had a story right after that about the vaccine, you know, because they were talking about remember we went through the order of who gets the vaccine first?
Yes.
And there are people who are insisting that the vaccine has to go to the people who are suffering the most, which are lower income and minorities. And they had this conversation about how, well, is that legal? And anyway, they go on to tell us that they've done a survey about, you know, and they do this survey about every 3 days, who will take the vaccine, who won't. Mm-hmm. Anyway, according to the latest vaccine survey, only 49% of white people will take a vaccine
out of fear
for the danger. So guess how many black people will take the vaccine?
15%?
22%. So, and as the person pointed out, then they'll be further victimized than the already more that they are already.
I want them to take it. But you know, once people start taking it, more people will get it done.
Yeah. I think so. But
since we're all sheep.
The problem is it only takes a certain percentage of people not to take the vaccine to keep whatever it is alive.
Sure.
I mean, that's how mumps came back.
Yeah. No, I know.
I mean, I'm going to have polio one of these days if you fuckers don't start taking your vaccines. Jesus.
I don't get it. I don't know why people are so scared of vaccines.
Because no one believes anything. I mean, seriously, it seems like no one believes anything.
And that's pretty scary if you think about that.
It's very scary.
Mm-hmm. No one believes everything.
So yesterday there was an accident involving a 6-year-old who was killed, and the father was, I think he's in critical care. But this driver just rear-ends. People are calling 911. You know how people do that now. Hey, there's some crazy driver. And before they could even get to this person and pull them over or whatever, he rear-ends this car hard enough to push it into an intersection where it gets creamed by another car. 6-year-old dies. Father dies. God. The car takes off, the one that caused it, and gets in another accident.
My God.
Which had me, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm watching this, I'm going, no more cars for you. No more driving for you.
Lock them up, period.
And I was thinking, you know what? They probably will get an involuntary manslaughter charge or something like that because there's witnesses. Lots of people, you know, complained about this guy's driving. And who knows if he was drinking or whatever. But I'm sure it will be adjudicated in such a way that if he has nothing on his record, he'll, what, go to prison for a suspended sentence or a couple years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to give somebody life in prison if they have nothing. For an involuntary manslaughter charge, I mean, unless he's drunk off his ass and they charge him with murder, which they do sometimes. But I don't know why I was like, well, that guy, because I just was desperate to hear, no more cars for you. But I just have a feeling this guy will drive again. He will drive again. It might take 8 years, 6 years, 10 years. But I bet he drives again.
Yeah, he might drive without a license.
He's 28 years old and he was driving a Hyundai Sonata.
Oh, Jeez.
28.
It's a weird
and
it,
that's
car.
What pushed a Chevrolet Equinox, which isn't that a much bigger car?
Yeah.
Yes.
Demolition Derby, that would not stack up.
No. Well, he must have been driving pretty crazy, but it was 4:30 in the afternoon. Yeah. So I was thinking, well, he's probably just driving crazy. But
poor family, man.
I know. No, it's terrible. Awful. And there was another story about East Point, and this is really interesting. They interviewed, actually you put it on at 10:01. It's on Fox 2 at 10:01 last night. And the reason I was fascinated by the story was because they talked to two witnesses.
Just play off Fox at 10 o'clock.
Independently. Well, the introduction, you know, we don't need the introduction. It's like right at 10:01. Both these witnesses, well, you'll see they have one thing right that I would not expect they would have right. And also the second guy, the second witness, his deductive reasoning is flawless.
Oh.
What a tease. So right here, I don't need Hillary Goldstein.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right.
Argument between two men.
Okay.
Gunfire.
A man in his 20s rushed to the hospital with a gunshot wound. Fox 2's Hillary Goldstein has more from the scene.
As we've seen way too many times before, this may all boil down to a verbal disagreement ending in gunplay. One neighbor heard the shots, came over here just as the police were arriving.
There was two quick volleys of three rounds and then eight rounds, pop, 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 pop. And I heard some shouting at that point. It was inaudible. I couldn't hear. I just knew somebody was shouting.
East Point police can confirm some kind of argument outside a home on Veronica near Tuscany may have led to this shooting. A man in his 20s.
You're right for deductive reasoning.
In the shoulder area.
There was one fellow laid on the ground.
Not this guy, next shot.
I counted 14 rounds that were fired when they first went off.
Police got the call at 3:27 in the afternoon Wednesday. Many neighbors obviously hearing the sound of gunfire.
I thought it was like fireworks at first, and then I just wanted to come outside to make sure and then I said, I seen all these police cars out here, and I said, somebody got shot. That's what I thought, first thing that came to my mind.
The victim was taken to the hospital. A family member tells Fox 2 the bullet was still lodged in the man's body. Oh. His condition unknown.
Have there ever been any problems at that home?
There has been a few incidents, yes. Like probably at least once a month we see police cars out there in front of the house.
The fact anyone was shot has folks upset, but they're at least glad the many children who play in the neighborhood weren't caught in the crossfire. And what police are calling the suspect... So
after that, I watched the second guy. His deductive reasoning is brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes, very much
it's,
so.
Thinks it's
fireworks.
Fireworks, wow. And then he sees the ambulance, and he's like, somebody's been shot. But how about the first guy, though? He counted the shots correctly. There were 14 shots, and he counted them.
Wow.
That guy must be a gun guy.
You know,
the
anyway,
first time, though, he said eight, and he said boom, 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 and he only said it seven times. So.
Is the barbershop not open in East Point yet, or... Just
yeah,
Trudy.
Sorry,
we're in a pandemic now.
Cheap shot.
It's a haircut.
That guy didn't need a haircut. Maybe a little beard trim.
You know, I saw the story on Fox 2, and I read about it somewhere else, and it's like, oh, it sounds like that home calls 911 all the time. It's like, I went back to my great ideas of the past. I'm trying to somehow force more ideas out of my brain, but 3-1-1-1 calls, and you're broken up.
Call 911.
No more couple for you.
Oh, so they have to be all domestic calls?
Well, yeah, because that's what they're doing. They're getting in fights. They call the police. He said the police come once a month. And I forgot what the number was, but there were a great deal of 911. 3-911 calls, you're divorced. Just like in the Middle East or wherever, yeah, you can say, times. I divorced thee, and you're divorced.
I like it.
That's a really good plan. Calls.
I think it's brilliant.
You know, just send them both the opposite direction from each other.
The problem could be people going, I call 911 three times.
I'll just be divorced.
Oh,
hey, whatever it takes, man.
I don't involve the police in anything because I stand up for myself. You weak cunt. You call the fucking cops.
You're not allowed to be together. If you call 911 three times, because one time could happen to anybody, you know, somebody's a little drunk. The second time's like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened again. The third time, no. Get your part. No, you're not allowed to be together ever.
I think that's a great idea.
There should be some permanent restraining order.
Terrific.
You can apply to be together again, but it's
may
not happen.
No one.
Hey, that reminds me. Did you see is it Lyle or Eric? One of them got in trouble in prison because they got weed sent to them.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was intercepted by the prison, but someone sent the Menendez brother.
That was Eric.
It was Eric, yeah.
Isn't
they sent
it legal
him weed
in California? Why can't it get weed?
I think if you're incarcerated, it's a little different.
Why?
I think honestly, I swear to God, I was thinking, gee, I wonder if that's going to be okay soon. Or I wonder if in a state... It doesn't seem like prisoners would have weed. They have everything.
They already do in a lot of prisons. I mean, we heard Aaron Hernandez was you know, doing drugs the entire time.
The prison wasn't sure if Eric was using it to get high or if he was using it for collateral.
And we all love toilet wine, so they get around that stuff.
Toilet wine's the best.
Ugh. Gross.
Did you guys talk about Doc Antle by any chance?
Like
a couple podcasts
very
ago.
Shortly, we did briefly. Why?
What is he? I mean, supposedly he's being
took animals across state lines.
Mean to kittens.
Yeah. Well, he took. Well, he had killed some, but he took animals across. That's what he was indicted for. Was there was a zoo in Virginia and his is in South Carolina, and he talked to the guy about bringing the animal, and you can't do it. So because it's across,
is
state
that Joe
lines,
Exotic? That's Joe Exotic.
It's a federal offense.
Oh boy!
I know it's. I just don't care about anything Tiger King related anymore. I just want them all locked
up. I don't
know.
I saw him again though, and it triggered me because
why?
Because
he's so sexy with those cats and his 17 wives,
girlfriends. Mark,
girlfriends. I'm sorry, employees. Right, interns, weren't they interns? He didn't pay him shit.
And some of them were my daughters. That's what he told us.
They got room
and
board.
They didn't get paid. None of them got paid. They were all. They just got the different colored shirt, right?
No. That was Baskin.
Oh, that's right.
That's Carol.
He was just they just followed the college athletic.
He just nailed him. His actually, his pay was his dick.
Oh, God.
You get my dick. No.
I need a raise.
That is such a bad deal.
He was nailing all those girls. They were all pretty, too. It was like, he was like the animal version of Keith Raniere. Vanguard.
Yes.
The vanguard of the animal world.
Yes, he is.
So I was debating whether we should call Maz earlier for something else, but then this is the real reason I thought we might need to call him.
Is this an email?
Yeah, from Greg. Long story shortened, but no doubt well told. After a quick email convo, I offered to build Maz a website about a month ago where he could put his NRM podcast and own if he ever moved, which is like...
Smart.
What? But you mean the old episodes?
Well, yeah.
Is there a great demand for Maz's old NRM episodes?
Hey, it's content. Maz is
himself. If you want to hear the same sports writers interviewed frequently, I guess.
Well, I'm not going to criticize the content, but it's content.
No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
No, you're not.
Harsh. Well, I'm just wondering how interested Maz was, because that's, I guess, would Maz be interested in that? I guess he would. He would own them if he ever moved.
Well,
I don't know why he owns them. I mean, I think he owns them anyway, right? Admittedly, not sure the rules or if that outfit would even allow it. That outfit. Something my dad would say.
Yeah, mine too.
I thought about trade, couple live reads, maybe a quick ad on the site, all open for discussion since we're just trying to get out there in the website world. I estimated a total cost of $2,000. Currently ghosted.
Oh.
I know he got a new gig and is likely busy, but I'll track him down again.
Crap.
So,
well, can we hire this guy?
Oh, yeah, if he'll do it for a couple reads.
I wouldn't mind redoing our websites.
Actually, he asks what our ad rates are.
Wow.
I know it must rest on downloads. I'm curious, my numbers worth an ad price.
Man, I just looked it up. Maz.com, I believe, is available. Should we just buy it so Tom can never have it?
Maz.com?
Oh, you
is
know,
it available?
Is not. It is not available. There's nothing on it, but someone does own it.
Oh. I was going to say we could post all kinds of interesting things on it.
Don't you kind of want to know how far this conversation went about Maz having his own website with all his episodes? Did Maz open this conversation up or
no? It sounds like this guy reached out to him.
But
I mean, what would be better than a site that is all Maz?
Oh, do you think Maz just blew him off because he was not in the least bit interested?
Kind of.
Well, maybe he just Damn did it. Get busy though.
Should we call Maz and find out?
Kind of.
Because I'm kind of intrigued.
Let's see what the deal is. Well, let's figure out what
it does sound
what's
like.
The excuse going to be at first.
Well, that he changed. I changed jobs, so I mean, I don't know what I need for it.
He's still doing his. He could have both of them on his website, right? Right.
We can also ask Maz if he wants this.
NRM.
What's that, Brandon?
We can also ask Maz if he wants this because Jerry Mathers just posted a Leave It to Beaver signed baseball celebrating the MLB playoffs. So.
And Maz already sent me a picture of the Jerry Mathers signed baseball, believe it or not.
You got to be kidding me.
He knows about it.
Why Jerry Mathers sign a baseball? Is he known for baseball?
Is there people like Maz who would want it?
Incidentally, speaking of baseball, remember when you said Vin Scully shouldn't be on Twitter?
Yeah.
Dude
in trouble?
Is ruling Twitter. He has 2,500 views on this post about Kirk Gibson. It's today in history, 1988.
Oh, Gibby's homer.
World Series home run.
Well,
yeah. And he has a story that he's telling, which I'm sure is adorable.
Yeah, it's probably way too long to.
Yeah, I think we should listen to at least a little bit of it.
All right, let me pull it up here.
Wait, Vin Scully is like trying to rule Twitter now?
Yeah, so many fuck. People have wished me great congratulations.
Audio. Oh, wait, that's an old one, sorry.
At 23.
Kirk Gibson was in the clubhouse with an injury.
Hi, everybody.
When Tommy Lasorda made the call.
As promised, he said, here's a quick story about Kirk Gibson's utterly surprising World Series home run.
Iron Cold.
Oh, he's got an
away.
Ad on it,
what?
Too.
What? Scully's look trying to cash in on social media. He's being an influencer.
He's got an ad,
Scully.
Remember how, like,
it's
cool.
Hard to believe 32 years have gone by.
Scully, you're not hot enough to be an influencer. Forget about it.
Ninth inning home run. You've seen it. You've read about it.
Don't you go dying on me.
Oh, no, he's not.
In the television booth that night. First of all, it's now going to the bottom of the ninth inning, and we're in commercial.
He's desperate to do play-by-play.
It's
kind of
sad.
To the producer,
slow down.
But he's got a sponsor.
I'm listening to a porn story. Oh, yeah. It's very
whatever I say, put the camera and follow my words. So we came out of commercial. And sure enough, when I
don't
said,
you know that you can see I'm so still, I do not need to know every single dugout. Detail.
I painted a picture of the dugout. Producer now knew.
I painted a picture of the dugout. Oh, come on, man.
And I said, if you look carefully, story. You dodge your dugout.
Oh, no. How am I going to get out of this?
Who hit the home run? You or Kirk Gibson, Scully?
I said, obviously, Kirk Gibson is not there, and so obviously, he will not play tonight.
Concise and being a good editor.
Are we in the first inning now or just pregame?
As well as his heart. He was sitting in the trainer's room all alone, two big bags of ice, one on each leg.
I'm making gestures at a person makes when they are very, 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 very,
Scarlett Johansson farts.
Yeah, I'm listening to the porn story.
His story is longer than a Matt Farley song.
Jesus. And then,
as oh my God, there's still another 30 seconds. Who's here? And here comes Kirk up the steps. Then what happened? A bat used as a cane, and the rest is history. I've got to get out of this conversation.
I've always told him, if I hadn't said that and stimulated him,
maybe he's taking credit for it.
He did. Every single detail. His contribution to that night
and that World Series.
Wow.
Wow.
If I found out that Vin Scully... Like, you know how many people we just find out are total shitbags? They're just canceled or, he's like a Weinstein type or something. I would be so distressed to hear Vin Scully had some dirt on him.
Here's some of the replies.
It's not possible.
I don't think so.
Here's some of the replies. Thank you for having the only good account on this terrible website. Next one. Another legendary call, Vin. The next one. I had my eyes closed as you told the story. You are an American
forensic accountant immediately.
American treasure,
pronto.
Mr. Scully.
Stat.
No need to ever be quick. Take as much time as you need, Mr. Scully.
That's one of our listeners being sarcastic.
The pleasure is all ours. Let's see, Mr. Scully.
There's got to be one shitty comment. There has to be one shitty comment.
I don't think there is.
Oh, come on.
What about that night was a masterclass in storytelling?
I was just reading that one. Read that. Read the full one. Read that full book.
That night was a masterclass in storytelling and the art of doing what we do. As a broadcaster myself, ooh, who's this? Oh, I've never heard of that dude. I've always tried to let the pictures and action tell the story as often as possible.
Wait, he responded?
While using my words as a mirror guide. Thank you for sharing, Mr. Scully. This is somebody in reaction. And wanted to plug himself
Come
as
on,
being a
Come on, find one shitty comment. There has to be one troll on Vin Scully's
no.
Twitter. No. Really? How many comments are there all together?
Oh.
A bunch. Oh, wait. I got to the bottom where it's like you got to hit the button to see the shitty ones.
Oh, there you go.
So let's see. Thanks, Vin. I remember watching that game. Thanks for letting me remember it with you today. That one was hidden?
That's the meanest comment he got. That's as mean as it gets with Vin Scully.
Nobody wants to be mean to him.
I'm kind of, I don't know, I feel...
Well, you write a shitty tweet to him.
Something in my
psyche
has been restored.
To say nothing.
Well,
What should be responded
to?
Great story. Great story. Too bad I had to watch the commercial for Kohl's beforehand. How much are you making, old man?
I knew this
was a great idea.
It's inspired jealousy.
Finn, do you have to have sponsors in front of a story like that?
It's such a charming
thought that would be free.
You really cheapened your story by having an ad in front of it. How much money do you need, Mr. Scully?
Does he respond to any comments?
I don't see.
See, I think somebody will take it down. Somebody
tweets and replies. Let's see if I can find Oh, well, he responded to this guy. Standing in left field bleachers, the greatest live sports moment of my life. No one better to relieve this.
Forensic account, please.
Relieve this than Vin Scully.
Great story, Grandpa.
Thank you, Mary Lee. That was his reply.
That's all?
Let's see. Here's another. Well, this goes back.
Wait, he only responds to chicks? Is he trolling for chicks?
Here's one. So he wrote on October 12th when he joined. And someone
who wants to suck a old man?
Vin, we lost the wonderful player and hilarious teammate, Jay Johnstone. Can you please tell a story or two about when Jay surprised you and had you laughing? And Vin replied, Hi, Paul. I recorded a story about Jay Johnstone on my Instagram page.
What?
Great story,
Vin. Brilliant. He's using
Vin
Twitter.
Scully
he's,
has
he's cross-promoting his social media. That's very smart.
So he's become very skilled
he
in a very
more,
short period of time.
He has more updated and with the time social media than we do.
If you think that's something, you should see my TikTok.
He didn't say that, did he?
No.
He's going to have TikTok tomorrow.
Boy.
He's got a lot of content here on Instagram, and he's got 100,000 followers.
You should really see my OnlyFans if you want to get wild.
That would be great.
Where he just stands there nude. Balls. His knees. Love you, Vin.
Well, we've been everywhere else in Fox News. We don't need to listen to this, but Rob Walchick did an update on his... This story... I need to talk to Walchick about this, because it just... The story makes me so mad. Seeing it in review made me mad. And it was the people that were parking in Midtown Detroit. Mm-hmm. And they had this fucking towing company, Breakthrough Towing, has spotters looking for people to go over the 30 minutes. And the minute they do, and Rob got all of this on camera, which was great. It's like, oh my God, how did he get all this? But they knew the scoop. So they got these guys, immediately on the phone. Next thing you know, truck pulls up, boom, around the corner, and tows the car immediately. $450 $450 What? Who tows for $450? Isn't that a city contract?
I thought he told us it was.
How could there be a city contract?
No. It wouldn't be a city contract because it's off a private lot.
But one of them was a McDonald's lot. I don't understand. There's really no limit on. Does they charge you $1,000 if it's on a private lot? They charge you $10,000 or keep your car?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Well, like Walter? I said, because I didn't even text him or anything. But $450 cash, of course, yeah, as it always is. And this guy who runs Breakthrough Towing, you know, I'm not a fan, to say the least. Because first of all, it's total bullshit. And the spotters is even more disgusting. And then McDonald's, the company I trust as much as any company in the whole wide world, McDonald's is part of it. Where... If you take, they say you have 30 minutes to eat or 30 minutes or you'll be towed or something. I mean, what's the sign say? Something like that.
Yeah.
So after 30 minutes, literally after 30 minutes, the spotter times it. They call the tow truck. They tow you $450. And when they had started towing your car, if you ran out and said, hey, they wouldn't take it down. And that is against Michigan law, by the way. If you arrive as they're towing your car, you can ask them to pull it down, and they have to do that. And they also would not give people stuff that was in their car. One guy's like, I got to walk 2 miles to this place to get my car, and I don't have my coat because it's in the car, and he wanted his inhaler. So this, I guess in the end, the part that I thought, well, gee, can't somebody bust McDonald's balls? McDonald's doesn't do stuff like that. What the hell's going on? And they talked to the franchise owner last year, and I think they were like, I don't know what you're talking about. Sign right there. What the fuck? I mean, isn't that just insane?
Bullshit.
McDonald's, 30 minutes, or you get towed for $450? What kind of a McDonald's is that?
I don't know. Who's the owner operating? Do you know?
Rob knew.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
I'm loving it. So, you don't do that in the suburbs. So, what's the difference?
Well, I mean, parking down there is at a... Have you been to that store and it's right by Hopcat? Or, well,
yeah, but McDonald's does not lots tow really people
no,
from
I know.
Their lot.
That's
I mean,
bullshit.
That is real.
And I don't understand how you're allowed to tow for $450. Is there no limit? The sky's the limit? Or is that the limit? I mean, I want to know more.
Well, they have a contract, right?
That's what I thought. But you're saying they don't have a contract.
Well, I don't know. Why would it be a city contract?
Well, I assume...
How does that work?
I remember when he did the story.
Operate in the city?
I thought that he would have Duggan on the next night saying, that will never happen again. And I never saw that because I don't think it happened. So I was like, what kind of scumbaggery is going on here? There's something really stinks and nobody's doing anything about it. Except that Rob did a great story, and the guy's in the Hall of Shame, and you can't get out of the Hall of Shame. He's in there forever. So the reason the story came up again was because two guys kept getting pulled over for expired tags. And every time they went to buy – first of all, it's hard to buy tags anyway because I don't think you could buy tags until recently. And now they've gone to buy tags, and they're told that they can't buy tags because there's a lien on their car. And here's the thing. While they have no idea, like, what is going on with the tag? Why can't I buy tags? Because they're trying to buy – I think you buy them online, and they can't do it. So they actually go in those hours they're open, and they find out that Secretary of State has a pretty good idea why they can't buy tags. Were you ever towed by Breakthrough Towing? Because Breakthrough Towing, apparently, when they tow your car, they put a lien on it right away, like that.
What?
So that if you somehow come steal your car or whatever, it will be taken away from you, or you can't buy tags. At some point, you're going to have to deal with them. But then when you pay your $450, they take the lien off. So they forgot to take the lien off on all these people who are going to Secretary of State wondering what the fuck's going on. Well, Secretary of State finally was like, oh, you can't. Were you ever towed by Breakthrough Towing? Two people Rob talked to said, yeah, this is exactly what happened. I went to Secretary of State. They said, were you towed by Breakthrough Towing? And they said, yes. And they said, oh, well, they didn't take the lien off. So eventually, between Rob Walchek and the Secretary of State, they were able to get new tags. So then Rob goes to check up on, what's this prick's name? I can't remember his name, but Rob went down to see him. And, oh, their office is gone. Oh, they've moved on. And the theory is
like Dickerson?
Oh, poof. They're operating under another name, more than likely somewhere. And Rob was asking, does anyone know if this guy is operating another towing company? Because he probably is. Rob calls the guy to tell him that, hey, you need to take the lien off anybody you've still got a lien on. The guy's just like, get out of my face. Don't ever call this number again. Leave me alone, Rob Walchek. You know, screw you.
And well, that always works.
Rob. The problem is
Rob backs down pretty easy.
Yeah, well, Rob doesn't really know. Rob's a bulldog. But Rob doesn't know what he's doing now, so he couldn't really, you know, pursue it any further.
Yeah.
But nice of them to, you know, just leave liens on cars. What a scumbag operation.
I kind of wonder if they just left the lien rather than take it down. You know, like the idea is, oh, we'll take the lien off once you pay up. I wonder if they left it there just in case they would have a chance to repo some people's cars. At some juncture.
Rob has an old story here that said there was actually a federal complaint against the towing companies because of what they're doing, but also because of allegations of kickbacks, not only to the stores, but to police officers. I don't know what came of that. That's a story from last year.
That makes sense, the kickbacks to the stores, because that's why
the
officers, too, that doesn't make
I mean, McDonald's. Well, really nice to know a McDonald's would take kickbacks to tow their own customers for $450. And, of course, there's the one lady.
And you get towed.
And I want a Big Mac right now.
Yeah,
it's making me hungry.
I know. I saw a picture of Jorge Masvidal and Donald Trump Jr. They were chowing on Big Macs.
Oh, that sounds really good. Damn, that special sauce. Oh!
Brandon's eating right now. I saw you get your. I saw some Brussels sprouts there, and you're a full mouth right now.
I want Brandon's job because dinner comes first, the child comes first, the dog comes first, everything comes first.
Oh man, he just deflates.
I mean, it's awesome. You just mute your mic and do your business.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I unmute. I just need to make sure I'm muted.
Brandon, look, I don't want to put you out by having you unmute the mic.
Well, what's for dinner?
It's salmon with rice and Brussels sprouts.
Oh, and it's a gourmet meal, too. I'd mute the mic, too.
She's been making all these really healthy meals lately.
That's cool.
A hint.
Now, do you give her the signal that the show started so she knows, like, an hour and a half into the show to bring the food in?
Schedule's always the same for food.
There's been times where she's made, like, incredible meals, and she comes down, like, 10 minutes after we finish the show, and she gets so mad that she made it, and it didn't even get featured on the Drew and Mike show.
Why don't you start an Instagram page, Brandon's Dinner?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea.
And then every picture will be on there.
And I want to get to the butchery so bad. Kristen wants to go to the butchery so bad so she can make like some unreal meat steak meals with potatoes and just serve it to me. And I want to get there, but I can't drive.
Oh, man, what a hardship.
Yeah.
Maybe the butchery will deliver.
Ride your bike.
I want steak.
Did you say steak?
Ride your bike.
Hell yeah.
Hey, once I finish with my plugs and I mention, I got a really interesting email. I want people to, if you can just take a minute to like us on Facebook, rate us on Facebook, although I can't find the ratings. I was looking for, do we have any new reviews on Facebook? I haven't looked in months.
I'll look.
And I couldn't figure out, I forgot how you find them.
Let me guess, because you have the, where you're looking at the new version of Facebook, which everybody admits sucks.
I don't know. I used to find it like that, and I could not find the reviews for our show.
Facebook redid everything, and it's fucking garbage. Well,
thanks a lot, Facebook. Anyway, yeah.
Come on, Chan. Fix it.
If you
fix
can
it, Priscilla Chan.
Oh, that's
she
Mark's
really
job.
Children.
No, her job is to put her name in front of stuff and commit his money.
We're still 5 stars out of 5.
And act how like
many,
it's hers.
How many reviews did we have last time? Last time you looked.
I have like 1,000.
Yeah, it's 964. Did they remove some?
Wow, I don't know. Yeah, I thought there were more than that. I thought there were way more. Oh, boy, we need reviews on Facebook. Yes. Jeez, somebody get off your ass. Come on, you guys aren't doing your job. Like us on Facebook, rate us on Facebook, and rate us on iTunes if you have a chance, or Stitcher, or any of the places that you go to listen to the show. Anytime you rate us, it helps to see more ratings. It also makes me feel better when I see some of these shows that think they're hot shit, and they've got like 500 ratings. Ha ha! So, we do appreciate it when you do that, except for those of you who give the 1-star ratings. You can all go to hell.
Yeah, you know, we haven't had one in a long time. One of the first ones that pops up is Righteous Rick's review from 2018.
Oh, see, that's another bad sign. When you don't have a rating for a long time, that says it. Oh, this audience is spent!
Oh, Kelly gave us one. And Save Ferris gave us one recently.
Usually there aren't. Usually, I swear, I almost always see new ones. It's got to be the new Facebook format.
Yeah.
Surely we have hundreds of great new reviews.
Or that we haven't asked. Oh, Brandon just got milk delivered, too. Wow, that's
great.
Oh,
man, it's great. Mute the mic. Don't forget to mute the mic. So, yeah, if you can rate us on any of these formats, whether it be Stitcher or Spotify or any of the places that allow ratings. Some places, do most of the platforms take ratings?
Yeah.
And then Amazon Prime Amazon Prime days are over, aren't they?
Yeah, it just ended, yep.
Anyway, thanks to those of you who did jump in there on Amazon Prime. I got some emails about that. And remember, if you do buy stuff from Amazon, if you can use our portal on the website, mm-hmm. It's much appreciated. Actually, it's appreciated. 8% is how much it's appreciated.
Help me.
I don't know if it's still 8, but yeah.
Oh, have we sunk? Boy, we're just a dying show, aren't we?
No.
We should be going up during COVID. People are ordering Amazon like crazy.
We haven't plugged it in a while. So.
It's been said that if everyone in our audience, and we know approximately how many people there are, if everyone ordered all their Amazon stuff, and we know approximately how much people spend on Amazon, we wouldn't have to do anything else. We'd live on Amazon money. Right. But of course, everyone doesn't all order $1 zillion on Amazon, and everyone doesn't go through our portal. But boy, sure would be nice if you did, because we appreciate it. And we appreciate those of you who donate on the donate bar. Oh, you can donate monthly. You can donate one time. You can do it any which way you want. But it is much appreciated. And somebody just wrote to apologize because they were giving us an extra donation during COVID, and they're removing that donation.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, you really don't have to write and apologize.
I don't accept your apologies.
No, but you can leave messages on there. We do read them.
Yeah, no. The messages are great, and the donations are much appreciated. Probably keeps somebody employed here. Who knows who it is? I'm not going to say, but it might be someone that you don't see. Anyway, no, that's all well and good and appreciated. And the Amazon portal, we never talk about this stuff. Plus the Drew and Mike store, which is open, and everything was knocked down and still is knocked down, isn't it? I mean, marked down?
Yeah, I don't even know what inventory is left
on there. I'm not sure what's left on there.
Oh, is it all gone? Okay. We were trying to get rid of what was left. And everything
oh, it's not all gone. No.
It's not.
But, you know, it could probably use some new stuff. So maybe we're going to have to put our heads together. But
yeah, it's still on there.
Well, 20%. Christmas is usually the time there's a whole new stocking up. But we were just trying to unload the old stuff just so we didn't have it anymore. Because it's not that it's bad stuff. It's the same stuff. It's just cheaper. And
what a stupid present.
Some things are more liked than others. There's that, too. Anyway. It's all much appreciated. And then I was going to read the last email. And let's see. I won't mention his name, but he said, I'm so sorry I'm behind on your show. I don't apologize for that. But I find it hard to listen when I have my kids. That's not your fault because your podcast has saved my butt many times. I just listened to your story about Webby. And it seriously hit home. I'm an alcoholic's regressed because of my divorce. I listened to the podcast. And the story inspired me to stop again. You said in the episode, alcohol is the worst, and I completely agree with you. Thank you so much for giving me a reason to stop again. I can't imagine not having my kids. Because I screwed up by drinking. I get it. No, I'm happy for you, man. Also, did you listen to The Weight covered by Travis? The band Travis? The British band?
Oh, it's a great song, though.
Oh, I love The Weight. I fell in love with the song all over again. I love the band version, but I love the version that Robbie Robertson and Ringo are on, the one for Music Cares.
Hmm.
It's got people all over the world doing different parts, and they put it all together. Yeah. I love those, and there's one for Listen to Music, and there's probably some new ones, too.
This version is from a movie you liked. Didn't you like Igby Goes Down? Wasn't that you that liked that movie?
Yeah, I watched it. I think I liked it. I mean, I don't remember the version of The Weight, though. But Travis is, they're British. They've got to be good.
Pulled into Nazareth. I was a feeling about half past dead. I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? Just grinned and shook my hand, and that was all he said. Take a load off Annie, take a load for free. Take a load off Annie.
Random. Shame on you.
Water spray emoji, water spray emoji, water spray emoji.
I just changed the whole song for me.
I know, I heard Mavis Staples singing that over and over. Oh boy, that sounds weird.
Are you talking about being a big fan of Igby Goes Down?
I wasn't a big fan.
You're a big fan of Kieran Culkin?
I know, he's in the movie.
Yeah, Travis, pretty good.
Travis aren't from the UK. They're formed in Glasgow. I think they toured with Oasis, and I saw them.
Kieran Culkin was sleep on this side.
They're pretty good. This is one of the songs. Can you really mess up The Weight? I mean, it doesn't seem like
that was going a little slow, I thought.
I always like this cover that
the tempo
did.
Needs to.
I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting.
You know what song this is yet? Anybody? Anybody?
No.
You'll know as soon as the lyrics hit.
Wait, no.
Oh, yeah. Whitney.
I mean, it's not a bad cover of that song.
I love goofus covers like that.
I was watching
The
Umbrella Academy. They have a new season out.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a hell of a soundtrack throughout that entire series. And they just did Billie Eilish, Bad Guy, but it was like a remix.
Oh, really?
And it was very slow. Yeah.
Was Phineas more involved, so you dug it?
I don't know if Phineas
was
involved at all.
Did he do the remix? That's the question.
Because my loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, I still believe.
It's funny. It sounds like a darker song now, doesn't it?
Yeah. That is kind of cool.
Did you guys see the...
Oh, I like this, Brandon.
This is Bad Guy, but a different version.
The Interrupters?
So yeah, it's not like the
It's amazing what show. It's amazing how one band can hear a melody, another one can hear it a different way.
Yeah.
And I that's why I love covers. In fact, God, I heard this cover I really liked, and I know you'll hate it, so I'm not even going to mention it or suggest that you play it. It was a cover by, it was a song by a German band, I want to say, and Bruce Springsteen covered it. It's called Dream Baby Dream. And I love Bruce's version.
It's a German thing. You wouldn't understand.
And I was like, Bruce doing a cover? That's, you know, he does covers, but this was a weird cover. And I thought, God, it's got to be some, one of those obscure great songs that nobody knows. And so I was, of course, really excited to hear the original. And then the original, like, oh my God, how did he
Is the original by there? Suicide? Is this the original here? Do you know?
I think, let me hear it.
Let me jump forward.
Yeah, I think this is it. Okay, wait till you hear Bruce do it.
So that's from...
that's German Bruce Springsteen?
1979.
Where are they from?
It didn't say.
Didn't say.
Come on, we gotta keep the light burning. Oh, you know what the best part of this is?
What?
The
Watching
end?
The crowd trying to get along to it, but they have no idea what the song is.
Really? Come on, gotta keep the fire. The cover song, not to introduce Bruce, but the cover song I love today was the Papa Roach covering the Blur song number 2.
Oh really? On the Billboards.
Yeah.
They did?
No, they did not on Billboard. It was just released today because it's new material, you know, stuff from their concert that they could put out there.
Oh, you know it? Ready? 1, 2, 3, woohoo! Yeah!
Woohoo! How's it gonna work? He doesn't have the accent. How's he gonna say jump out, Jack? Okay. Just do a fake accent.
Distortion?
This is terrible.
Why does it sound like that?
It's distorted. They're trying to be, you know, trendy.
But you see, this one sounds like the original. And I like it when the cover songs sound nothing like it. Kind of like the Devo Satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds nothing like it. Same thing with Marilyn Manson, Sweet Dreams. That sounds nothing like the original. Yeah. Rage Against the Machine, Beautiful World,
Britney
nothing.
Britney Spears, Satisfaction.
Hurt by Johnny Cash. I mean, that one sounds nothing like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, those are...
Tiffany, I saw him standing there.
Rest in
hell. On Soul of Detroit, he's doing it for his 7609, his cover songs of New Wave. And so he just did Johnny Cash.
Oh, wow.
Doing Personal Jesus.
There's some really cool New Wave covers. There were a lot of covers at that time. And for some reason...
Radiohead's got a great cover of Ceremony. And they have a great, you know, the...
I haven't heard that.
New Order, and they have a great cover of a Smith song.
Oh, there's a cover in my head. It just left.
Headmaster Control.
What was I thinking of? Oh, I know what it was. I heard this would not fit room 7609. But I heard the Sex Pistols.
Room.
Trudy, do you remember? You guys will not know this song. The Monkees, I'm Not Your Stepping Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know that song? How do you know that song?
Yeah. Not Your Stepping Stone.
Because the Monkees, because I used to work in an oldie station. It's a great song. It's a very well known song.
I didn't even think it got airplay anymore. I mean, Monkees, it's I'm a Believer, Last Crane to Clarksville.
That one has been covered a lot, too.
Yeah, it has been. But a lot of punk bands were covering it, like the Sex Pistols.
Somebody
covered
in Sacramento did it.
All right, hit the outro. We should get out of here.
You know who...
What? I'm Not Your Stepping Stone?
I was going to play. I was looking for it. So what cover did you hear doing it?
The Sex Pistols.
Really?
There are many other covers out. In fact... if you Google covers of a certain song, there's a site that gives you virtually every cover.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. What's the site?
I'll tell you in a second. Covers.
Is it secondhandsongs.com?
Yeah. Oh, Paul Revere and the Raiders did it. That's right. Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart wrote it.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
That's totally different. The Liverpool Five did it. The Rebounds. I mean, they tell you everyone did it. The Possums. Sid Vicious did it. I wonder what Sid's Vicious version sounds like.
Wait, so Paul Revere and the Raiders actually wrote the original, so the Monkees was the cover.
No, Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart wrote it for the Monkees, I believe.
I think first recorded by Paul Revere.
It was? Are you sure?
I'm reading it right now. May 1966. Monkees, November 1966.
Was the Raiders version a hit? Maybe it wasn't a hit.
I don't make Monkees. I just train them.
Monkees went to number 20.
God, look at all these covers. Black Velvet Flag, yeah. TikToks, Jackpot. Johnny Thunders did this. What?
Drew's hard.
I love Johnny Thunders.
And that little monkey gets loose, doesn't he?
Possibly the biggest train wreck ever. I call that New York Junkie Punk.
That's clever.
Johnny Thunders.
Junkie Punk.
The New York Dolls. There's a lot of good Junkie Punk.
Did you coin that?
I've never heard it before.
Wow.
Hey, did I coin something important?
That's pretty clever.
Let's see. Okay, I was reading about suicide when I changed sites there. Dream, baby, dream. I believe Alan Vega was part of Suicide, but I can't remember who Alan Vega is. Does that ring a bell?
Alan Faye.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Is that Woodstock?
Yeah.
Written by its members Martin Rev and Alan Vega. It was released as a single. 1979 by Island Records, been covered by Nina Cherry and The Thing.
Nina Cherry, wow.
That's really
her
funny.
Her big song?
I cannot remember.
Oh, what was her stupid song?
It was performed by Suicide on the Midnight Special in 1978. I bet this is where Bruce saw it. It's so weird. Okay,
Anyway. You got me stuck on Nina Cherry. What was her stupid big song?
I'll tell you, and hopefully before this song ends. Let's see.
One.
Nina...
I'm trying to look it up, too, and I can't find it. Oh, the Buffalo Stance! Does anybody remember that shit song?
Yes. Terrible. Horrible.
1988.
Now I want to hear her version of Dream Baby... Wait.
Do you really?
What'd she cover?
I don't know.
Dream Baby Dream, yeah. By Suicide. Okay. I'm out of here. I'm so out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Oh, God.
See ya!
Butt Mike wants to say something. Butt Mike says, if I also get two tickets to David Bowie.
No!
Nobody gets tickets because of you!
Butt Mike saying, you dirty, dirty son of a bitch.
Fuck you! Get the fuck away from me!
But Mike just says, I just want to see if it's possible that you could pierce my eardrum and cause an inner ear hemorrhage. I just want to see if it's possible.
And I will!
But Mike's saying,
I can't hear you.
What?
You can't just speak up, bitch.
I'll put you in a fucking rose garden, you cunt. And that greenness today, that's provocative.
But Mike agrees with you completely.
What a dumbass.
What? Try and listen to me. You have one more chance. You should just fucking smile and blow me. Because I deserve it.
But Mike said, looks like Drew better open wide.
No! I need a woman. I
know. Shut up. Oh, shh. But Mike just said, don't talk on top of me. But Mike said, see you later, thumb dick.
Bitch, cunt, whore, gold digger.
Pencil dick.
Pain in the ass. Suck my cock. Fucking gold digging cunt.
Isn't this cool, Saturday? The Spartans are the big victory. I left Spellhauer a stinger of a message. And all one can say is, too bad, too bad. Wasn't that just a hell of a game, man? Motherfucker, huh? Oh, my God! One of the greatest games ever. Oh, my God, what a f***ing game, huh? Whoo, baby. See you.
By the way,
this is great.
I come in this morning, and we just got our annual bags, people.
By the way,
yeah, I get to start packing those bags. We just got our annual photograph back from. Well, it's the 9th annual Jeff Daniels Comedy Golf Jam, and it's that photograph they take every year.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, we get this nice thing back. You know, it's a nice
celebrity wall of fame shot with Jeff Daniels.
Absolutely, and it's autographed and really
nice.
Oh,
he autographed him?
Yeah, he always does that. You know,
you want to face the wall, put your hand up on the wall, and arch your butt back towards me.
And underneath.
Oh, wait, let me guess.
I'm the kind of person who usually avoids the pictures.
Underneath the picture is the photograph of all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, you, me,
yes.
Mark, Mike, and...
is there a problem?
And Jeff.
Is there a problem?
The problem is that only me, there's a wind blast that's come up, okay, and you can see my hair blowing and Jeff's hair blowing. The wind has somehow entered my Jeff Daniels... My pullover.
Oh, no.
The wind has gone into it and inflated it like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And it's ballooned.
The guy in Ghostbusters?
Yeah, and it's ballooned out. So, and I'm already huge.
Arch the fanny just a little bit. And then give me a little smile. Fanny. Okay.
And it's ballooned out, so it looks like... Instead of weighing 195, it looks like I weigh like probably near 300.
Oh,
and the thing of
my.
It is, it's not affecting anyone else. The wind
Let
isn't affecting anyone else. Wait till you see this photograph.
Okay. You know, it's funny. You are at a strange angle. This will be a great little. This will be an excellent show and tell for the program today. Since we're going to see a lot of people.
Plus, to make matters worse, he's standing next to my brother, who's like 6'3", 180.
Yeah.
Who just looks dwarfed behind us.
Jeff isn't an ounce overweight either. Actually,
yeah.
Mike is adjacent to the thinnest people he probably comes in contact with on a daily basis.
Yeah,
outside
probably.
Of his wife.
Yeah. Can you believe it? I look like a 300. Oh, no.
This belongs on the website. I hate to say that. But
this is the worst picture I've ever seen.
There's a set of circumstances involved here that makes clearly this is a website.
Yeah, this is scary. Because now, I mean, it's not even a coincidence anymore that my picture ends up so horrible. I take terrible pictures, but now I know that even the forces of nature are against me. How can I...
Put your other hand up, Hunter, so I can see your
boss. How can I survive? How can I continue to live a long life when all of the elements of the earth are against me? Oh,
it's,
that's so bad.
Beverly Amethysis.
It seems like there's still fallout for the Snickers ad.
See, isn't it something? See, there's more and more political correctness, I guess, that's just coming along, or sensitivity or something. We're now, look at all these complaints. I don't remember in previous years, there being all of these,
I don't
these
either.
Groups coming out and throwing conniption fits over everything and demanding things be taken off the television and all kinds of stuff like that.
That was almost $3 million ad, Snickers.
Yeah.
Right? Well, now, why they ran two mechanics doing that? I mean,
well, that's just
I think
it.
We just accidentally kissed. Quick, do something manly.
I'm happy to see that commercial go anyway.
I
don't like the commercial at all. I just, you know, regardless of anything to do with the gay stuff, I just think it's just a dumb commercial.
I don't know.
It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Now the GM thing, I'm glad that they're holding their own and they're standing strong and saying, no, we don't have a problem with it and we're going to continue to air it.
No,
good for them.
The guy that runs Snickers, well, I guess it's Mars Candy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Julius St. Clair. I don't know if this is a good number or not, but I think it's worth a shot. I really want to know what these people are thinking about.
We're thinking, yeah.
What are you thinking running that at?
Yeah,
that's
really.
That's crazy. In the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I think we just accidentally kissed. Quick, do something manly.
Crazy. So gay.
Yeah, really.
Gross.
St. Clair residents, Julius speaking.
Julius, it's Drew and Mike on WRIF Radio. We were calling about the Super Bowl commercial.
Well, let me just say this about that. We at Mars Candy, we couldn't be more sorry to have caused all this drama surrounding the Super Duper Bowl. I guess I just misread the room.
Well said. The Super Bowl is not the place for an accidental homo kiss ad, that's for sure.
Oh, well, correctamundo. No matter how cute the guys are, and they were scrumptious, how couldn't they sneak a kiss? I mean, but the Super Duper Bowl is not the place for two hotties to act on feelings like that, I guess.
I'm not sure about that portrayal of these mechanics, but also the ripping out the chest hair was just gross and not realistic at all.
Gross! Gross is right. And the ripping hair out was so barbaric. I mean, after a steamy moment like that, they would have headed straight to the bathhouse or somebody's house and made a waxing appointment for two after the lovin', as Engelbert Humperdinck would say.
Engelbert Humperdinck?
Yes, my favorite.
I'm not sure about this. I don't see a waxing appointment helping either. I think he just needed a scrap, but it was a cheap shot for the gays and the straights.
Well, and nobody likes a cheap shot. I mean, nothing worse than another sweaty man in an already turgid pile of sweaty men having a tickle fight. And, you know, on the storyboard originally, instead of that cheap shot, I had a money shot.
Oh, God. You know, I don't know if you should have a Super Bowl commercial at all. It doesn't sound like you have a feel for the football TV audience at all, Julius.
Well, that's a little presumptuous, isn't it? You don't even know any of the other ideas for the Super Duper Bowl commercial.
Stop calling it the Super Duper Bowl. That sounds gay as hell, too. It's the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry. What's it called? I've never seen this game. Okay, Super Bowl. So I don't see the difference. I mean, I've heard of it, and I was so happy when the Packers won. In fact, that was one of the other ideas.
Oh, you were going to use the Packers? That sounds a lot less controversial for a Super Bowl ad.
Well, we had Brett Favre and Troy Aikman, and we were going to fashion a Snickers into the shape of a two-sided butt plug, and then we were going to have them consume it rectally until their buttocks bumped, and then just end it with both of them just saying, "Oh."
Julius, I think that's even more gay. I mean, it sounds like you were determined to get your $2.6 million worth of gayness out of this commercial no matter what.
Well, if you know, if we sent you a few of these double butt plug Snickers, I'd love to see how long it would be before you were de-pantsing anyone there just to get some leverage on that bad boy.
You clearly need some kind of a sports liaison there at Snickers, obviously, Mr. St. Clair.
Well, you know, that's really insulting. Did I mention I know Cordell Stewart?
Oh, that's interesting. Where did you meet Cordell Stewart?
Well, it was at a Snickers Jacks meeting at the mandatory clothes check. I know you're familiar with that part. I didn't get to talk to him much. I wasn't aware of the no butthole play rule. How homophobic is that? Give me a break.
That's terrible. So you got booted out.
Well, anywho, I offered Cordell a chance, too. We had a storyboard with Cordell waiting patiently outside a glory hole. And of course a Snickers comes through and Cordell eats it. How nummy.
All right, that's enough, Julius. You're out of here, pal.
Well, wait. You don't want to hear about the Rock Hudson look-alike spot with Gomer Pyle?
No, you guys don't get it. I don't know if you thought this was the gay purview or what, but I don't even want to hear another idea.
Well, all right. Your loss.
I'm sure it is, and I'm sure it was more in line with football. Goes without saying.
Well, okay, boys. Toodles. Maybe we'll see you during whatever it's called with the round ball. March gayness?
March madness. But whatever. Good luck, Julius.
Okay, all right. Bye, ladies.
Bye, Julius.
All right, see ya.
Julius.
Bye-bye. I'm going to send you that Snickers butt plug, whether you want it or not. Bye-bye.
Julius St. Clair. Mars Candy.
Boo.
Very nice.
You can smell my farts. You can smell my farts. You can smell my farts.
You can smell my farts. You can smell my farts.
You can smell my farts.
Slow down.
Okay, dick lickers. Here we go. Okay, my
bag-laden friends.
Ooh,
huh?
Ooh. Nine iron instead of a six.
70 yards.
You got a half
what did you hit there?
Mm.
A sand wedge.
You're only about 200 yards out. What are you doing?
170 yards out.
That's a great question. That's a question of the day, isn't it, my man? That looks like a, it's like Daddy pulled the wrong club, all right? You want to hear something really ridiculous? This is
sure.
Embarrassing. This is an asinine story. This is, I don't know how long ago this was. Not that long. A couple of months, few months ago. Anyway, it was one of those long nights. Trish and I have been really boozing. we were doing some major beer. And
you drank a lot.
Yeah. And this one ended up to be, my God, I think I barbecued steaks. I think it may have been about 4:30. I was out there barbecuing steaks. Oh, yeah.
You mean dinner pushed back, pushed back, pushed back, pushed back, pushed back. 4:30?
Yes. Yes, I swear.
And there was no Bolivian marching powder involved?
No. No, absolutely not. Nope. Nope. And
how'd the steaks come out?
And had their... They came out great.
Did they?
Yeah. But
wow.
Listen to this. There was this huge salad. Just this... Because all it was just like these big steaks and then this monstrous salad.
I deserve this.
Oh, it was just the most fantastic salad. All right, now, by now, it's like well after five. Okay.
Is this during vacation?
This is the story.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm telling it on the air. All right.
Was this during vacation?
Yeah. Was it?
I think so. No, it was a week before vacation.
Oh, okay.
I must have.
So
been
you're slacking.
Yeah, you're slacking. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so we finished the steaks, and somehow or another, Trish had most of her salad done, and finally, she's just like, I mean, it's like the sun is starting to just show itself, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like, oh, this is ridiculous. I can't believe this. So she takes
toss
off
my salad.
She goes to bed. And I said, like, I'll be along in just a moment, because I had this big salad, and I was just like, oh, man, I cannot wait to have this salad, right?
And steaks on deck?
The steaks are already done, so we've already eaten the steaks. Trish is eating her salad. She's like, oh, my God, I can't stand it. I have to go to bed, and she just saunters off to bed.
Right.
But me, you know, because I was making this, while I was making the steak, she was pounding away at the salad, so she was ahead of me, you see.
Oh, okay.
So finally, she leaves. The steaks are done. Everything's over, except I have this monstrous salad to eat. Okay.
I guess I don't follow the chronology of eating your steak before your salad.
Oh, yeah. Well, the salad is so awesome, the way we build them, that it almost acts as a dessert. It's really, I know it's strange.
That is very strange,
yeah, but
I
we
think.
Always do it that way.
Okay.
And it's
all
really
right.
Fabulous.
Okay.
All right. So off she goes, and I'm sitting there, and the TV's on, and whatever's on, whatever. Well, anyway, similar to how your drive was on the way home, you
mm-hmm.
know, or no, actually, when you were watching the Purdue game.
Oh, right,
yeah,
falling asleep.
Yeah. I was sitting there, and I'm going, oh, my God, this salad is great. The next thing you know, it went from like, God, this is great. I'm like, God, this is great. Next thing you know, I'm sitting there going, what's going on? Where am I? And it turns out I am face down unconscious in my salad. I mean, full bore face down in the middle of my salad.
It wasn't
conscious.
It wasn't one of these things where it's like, I'm just going to close my eyes in my salad for just a minute. It wasn't like that. You literally plopped down in your salad and didn't wake you up.
And the last I knew, I was devouring the salad. The idea that I could go unconscious.
That's
was
pretty baffling.
Remote.
You know, it's funny. I've always heard stories
amazing.
About people falling asleep in their food, and I never understood how you wouldn't wake up when your head hit the food. So
definitely.
I almost didn't believe it.
I know. I wanted the same thing. And all of a sudden,
you must have been bummed.
Oh, I was so bummed. The whole countertop was just beer cans as far as the eye could see. And so
what the hell happened that night?
Yeah. And it was so funny that when I opened my eyes, I didn't automatically withdraw my head. I mean, I opened my eyes and I studied, where was I?
I'm in Vietnam! Whoa!
Exactly.
It's Vietnam!
Exactly. And all of a sudden, it went from like, maybe I died and I'm in some forest. I'm in my salad! I pull my head back and I'm like, oh my. But at the time, I just remember going like, Oh, my God, that's ridiculous. And then I went to eating again.
You know what? I swear to God I was going to ask you, only because I know myself, I was going to ask you if you finished it at that point.
I went back at it. I was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Oh, that's ridiculous. And I started eating again. Next thing you know, where am I? Where am I?
In your salad again?
Yeah.
Face down. No, face down. Twice?
Three times. Three times. Count them. One, two, three. And each time I reacted the same way. I opened my eyes. Where am I? I'm in a forest. I'm in my salad. And I pull my head back.
Didn't you know by the third time you think that the learning curve would break in at that point?
You
go,
think so?
Oh, I'm asleep in my salad again.
I did. And each time it was just like, that was the reaction. It was just like, oh my God, you must be kidding. I'm unconscious in my salad again.
That is amazing. I'm amazed.
And then I went to eating again because it was so good. And then the third time when I was like, oh my God, I'm in my salad again. when that happened, it was just like, it was just like, all right, enough's enough. By now it was 10, no, by now it was like almost 6:20.
Wow.
Because I had been like in enough's my salad enough. For a long
time.
So
you
time.
Didn't finish it?
I never finished it.
Oh.
I was almost finished. But by now, I realize as I start thinking, I was just like, wait a minute. My God, I was eating the salad. I started eating it around 5:20. I realized that I'd spent some considerable time face down in my salad.
There's no telling how long you were asleep in that salad.
I think it's possible that I was asleep in my salad for upwards of 20 minutes. At a time. Because it was almost 6:30.
May I ask what kind of dressing your head was in?
Garlic ranch.
So now, the next key question is, did you wash your face before you went to bed?
That's a
because it would be very marginal to me. I could see not doing that. Sometimes I'm so tired when I fall asleep on the couch, and I really don't want to get up, but I know I should go to bed. And then it's like, oh, God, should I brush my teeth? No, I'm way too tired. Oh, I really should. And if I brush my teeth, I want a gold star.
Oh, yeah, you should get a gold star for that. There's no question. No, way to read it. Nice read, Drew.
Thank you.
I got up and I threw out the remaining salad and just went, oh, my God, you know, and I shut off the lights. And it was already light in the house because now it's almost 6:30. Trish is out like a light, a stone. And I walked into the bedroom and all of a sudden it just hit me. It was just like, huh.
My face is really gross.
Yeah, and what happened is when I took my glasses off, I went, what a mess. And all of a sudden, what a salad mess. Dressing and little snippets of salad in the hinges of my glasses. And then all of a sudden I went, oh, no. So I went into the master bathroom, you know, and I looked in the mirror. My whole face was salad dressing. It was in my hair.
Oh, for crying out loud.
All in my hair, all over was bits of salad, heavy dressing.
Wow.
The whole bit.
Leaflets.
And leaflets. I had little leaves, you know, salad leaves in my hair.
Any onions or pieces of tomato?
No, but there was lettuce and
cheese gratings
all over, and it was just amazing. And so I washed my face and went to
bed.
Good call.
Good job.
And went to bed.
Impressive.
Honest
oh boy,
to God, what
well, I've
an
never done that. I know
what
I've been damn close.
I mean, that's never happened to me before. I've never just gone plumb.
You just hit the wall. You just hit the wall.
Oh. To think that I'm in an upright position sitting down, and at what force did I fall into the salad?
Mm-mm-mm.
And as you say, it didn't...
To not wake up, yeah, that's incredible.
Be asleep in your salad for 20 minutes and do it three times in a row.
When I was falling asleep...
Before you throw in the towel.
When I was falling asleep during the movie, sometimes what would wake me up is I'd be asleep, and I'd be asleep for at least a couple minutes because I know how far I'd rewind.
Yeah.
Was my head like hitting my shoulder, you know, when I would fall over. That would be what woke me up repeatedly, and I got really sick of it, too. It was really starting to piss me off.
It does piss you off. Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. It's just like you just can't believe it's happened to you.
Oh, no!
Butt Mike said,
welcome to the Motor City.
Butt Mike just said, don't talk, on top of me.
You got fart air on your face.
Fart air on your face.
You got fart air on your face.
And you dig it.
He is a butthole. He is like a living, walking butthole.
Bud Mike. How dare you tank an interview?
Because I know, somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
You got fart air on your face.
I'll stop it.
Fart air on your face.
Beautiful, man.
You got fart air on your face.
And you dig it.
He's so nervous. I don't like it.
You got fart air on your face.
What?
Fart air on your face.
You got fart air on your face.
And you dig it.
See you later, thumb dick.
Player, thumb dick.
See you later, thumb dick.
Player, thumb dick.
Player, thumb dick.
But like we spoke today. That was the attack of Butt Mike.
Bye! Have a great Friday, you motherfucker!
Bitch!